The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including The Midnight Jury, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Neckbreaker, Pro Wrestling 101, Apex Radio, Inconclusive Breakdown, Thursday Night Destruction, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way to do so is to leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you buy anything from Amazon, go to ShiningWizards.com and click on the Amazon button. Doesn't cost a thing, but a percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you're interested in putting our logo on your chest, go over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and buy one of our logo shirts. Or if you feel like buying a Shining Wizards Network shirt or any other designs that we've come up with, go over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. Become our friend on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Come check us out on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Or send us some hate mail, WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. We hope you enjoy tonight's program, and thanks for your continued support.
Hey, this is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Everybody stay tuned. Listen to this guy, Eddie the Shining Wizard.
Type. Crack your Red Bulls and
type.
Episode 169 of the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk.
And 69, your mother.
I'm Tony.
I am Eddie.
I'm Matt.
And I'm right. Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
What up?
Ooh.
Oh, look at this.
Who's dinging?
One of
you two.
Not me.
Probably me.
I don't have the Facebooker open today.
So what's going on, boys? Everybody's back.
Yeah. It's a full house.
Full hizzo.
Where are the Olsen twins?
Danny Tanner style.
He's given a bath to the twins upstairs. Those mumbling, bumbling idiot twins that...
Jesse's kids, right?
Yeah, they were the worst.
They were all in the bathtub together.
Yeah, they were.
They're twins.
They're making a reunion, aren't they?
I think
you
so.
You got it, dude.
There has to be a live performance by Jesse and the Rippers. There has to.
I can't imagine there not being one.
I like that the band name is the Rippers.
You got it, dude.
Mr. Woodchuck?
Jesse had like three voices, and they were all like, there's Popeye.
No, that's Joey.
Joey. Joey had Popeye. He had Bullwinkle. And this voice, which was everybody else.
Yeah. It was like whenever he was doing like an impersonation, when he would hold like the baby in front of him.
Yeah.
And then he would just do that voice.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Or like the Woodchuck was that voice.
Yeah.
Dave Coulier is a loser.
Cut it out.
I never even understood that.
I don't know.
Like, this is it. Just his finger horizontally was it.
It.
How is that it?
Cut it. I don't know.
It was cut, then the one finger.
Well, because the point is supposed to be when you're pointing at it, I guess.
I don't.
Cut it out.
Like, come on. Come up with something a little bit more clever there, Cooley. Cooler.
Cooley.
Fucking Joey Gladstone was such a douche. Douchebag.
He was a douche.
Douchebag.
He was the douche.
They should have Dave Coulier as a rapper and have him and Coolio do a song together. Called Not Cool At All. Coolio raps Gangster's Paradise, and then Joey Gladstone comes in and does it in the Woodchuck voice.
Or he just goes, blah! fucking Popeye shit.
Coolier and Coolio. One of them are cool.
Whatever happened to Candace Cameron?
She got married.
She found God.
She married a hockey player, made babies, and looks hotter than ever.
Dude, but she goes on like she's Jesus. She's Shawn Michaels, born again, freakish.
Her brother's worse.
Kirk Cameron. Oh, dude,
that's right.
He might be borderline like cult leader.
You ever hear Kirk Cameron describe how he found God in a banana?
What?
Oh yeah, he does a whole thing on YouTube where he talks about a banana and how it's a creation of God. But I've known that for 40 years.
I mean, Yeah, bananas are good and all.
Thank you.
I don't think God's in there.
Full of potassium.
All right.
There Jesus.
Oh, boy.
I feel like I'm so underdressed for this with Eddie in his fucking shirt and tie over there.
Yes. Well, I should probably feel overdressed.
Yeah.
You look like a WCW Worldwide.
The entire show.
Well, no one watched that show, so.
I watched that show.
I was on that show.
You were on Worldwide?
Yes. I was known as Jungle Jim Steele back then.
Ah.
Yes.
I've been watching WCW all day today.
It's better than anything else right now.
Oh, and we're going right into it.
Okay.
Is that what we want to start with?
What, Raw? Know.
Raw?
Well, what happened before Raw? Like, what do we need to talk about here?
Oh, the Giants were down 14-0 pretty quick.
Who cares?
That was before Raw.
Who cares? Impact.
It's all the tapings we were at.
Anyone watch?
I did.
Nope.
How'd they come off on TV?
They came off great.
Did anyone, do we have any shirts?
Shut up.
Dick. Anyone have any shirts get on TV?
Anyone have any shirts get on television?
Yeah.
No, TV.
I'm fluent in English.
I did not take notice. It was kind of on in the background, and I was doing a bunch of
so
stuff.
So you really didn't watch?
No, I watched it. I just wasn't scanning the crowd to see who was wearing a Shining Wizards t-shirt. I know Peter was in the front row.
Peter and another friend of ours?
I'm sure at some point it got on there.
But their camera switches are so fast anyway, especially when they do pan the crowd. They don't really pan the crowd. They just like...
Well, they don't really want to pan the crowd.
Well,
empty chair, empty chair, empty chair, empty chair.
Well, they had a good crowd when we went there.
Yeah, it was a good crowd. I liked it.
It was fun.
They were good.
You weren't there.
Why don't we tell them who we have on the show today before we get into anything?
Oh, we have Mr. One Man Mike Dell.
The lifeguard!
Well, Damian Gibbs commented on a post we put on Facebook. Apparently, that happened where they were interviewing one of them, and then they had the other one call in, and whoever was hosting the interview tried to start a fight between the two of them.
I bet you hilarity ensued.
It sounded like a fucking car wreck.
Sounds awful.
Gibbs is going to be so upset that we actually went this route. I thought they were the same person for the longest time. I didn't realize there were two of them.
Really?
No, I didn't know. Wow. For a while, like a year and a half ago.
Huh.
But
no, Mike Dell, who we have on the show tonight, has been wrestling for probably 17 years or so.
Long time, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Probably
got a lot of good stories.
I'm sure he does.
So he'll be here tonight on the podcast to promote Wildcat Sports and Entertainment. But we can dive into that a little later.
That's sure right.
Impact was, I mean, we were, not you, Tony, as I point to you on a fucking podcast, the wizard I am.
This is the wizard.
We were all there. Just the way they put it all together, I'm pretty sure it wasn't anywhere near the order that we saw it in.
Yeah.
Nothing to write home about. I mean, they named Bram and Magnus the Kings Lynn Hooligans.
What?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't know.
The Kings Lynn Hooligans?
Yes.
Kings Lynn? Is that like a city?
I don't know. Maybe.
Kings Land Hooligans?
Huh?
I heard it and I looked up from what I was doing. I was like,
what
really?
Were you doing? That's probably more interesting than this episode of Impact.
Doing something on Twitter. I don't know.
Who were the Hooligans?
Paul London and Brian Kendrick.
So why would they do that?
But they were never actually dubbed the Hooligans. They remember we had Brian Kendrick on the show. They were trying to push for the name to be called Hooligans, but they never did. But they were the Hooligans.
Were they the Pitbulls as well?
No, it was Jamie Noble and Kid Cash.
That's right.
Kid Cash is a dick.
Dude, they have those matches too on the network. I watched their matches from the pay-per-view.
A couple highlights from Impact that I enjoyed. The Jessica Havoc making her debut and beating the shit out of Gail Kim and Taryn Terrell.
There was a great spot in that match. That neck breaker on the steps. Did you see that?
Neck breaker.
Jessica Havoc was that big chick, right?
Yeah.
She choke slammed Gus.
That night?
I don't know if it was that night, but it was the night after.
Because that was her debut.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Gus never told me that.
Yeah, because it happened at the bar. He got his ass handed to him.
Well, Gus is mad at you.
Mad at me?
Yeah.
Why? Because I didn't go to...
No, because you took that picture of him.
I took it down.
No, he was telling me how mad he was about it. He doesn't want to talk
to you.
A little
bit of heat?
Yeah.
We've talked before.
He says he doesn't. You're not welcome at PWS anymore.
Oh, is that right?
I'm making all of this up.
Gus is the one that's telling me I'm not allowed at PWS.
We didn't talk about any of this.
No, but I talked to him about it. Arr. Yeah, drunken swashbuckler.
I just wouldn't show up at Sanctuary if I were.
I want us to show up. I feel terrible that we haven't yet, but
it's a drive.
It's a hike. What's this we? What do you have, frogs in your pockets?
We.
Oh, I don't know.
All of us. We should
all
go.
All of us.
I would have went to the last one, but they were all watching the pay-per-view after. So that means we'd be there till after 11, then the
long drive.
You don't
have to stay
home
and watch the pay-per-view.
You could watch it at home for only $9.99.
But the thing is, though, we wanted to watch the pay-per-view. So, like, by the time, like, the drive home would be during the pay-per-view, so we wouldn't be able to watch it.
Yeah. No, that's not true. You have the app on your phone.
I'm not going to watch it while I'm driving.
Well, then Eddie can watch it and commentate to you.
With what? There's no Wi-Fi. He's not going to use his data plan for that shit.
Yeah, that's right. Fuck that. Yeah,
if you don't have an unlimited data plan, you're living in the Stone Age, dude.
No, you can't. I don't think there's such things.
Yeah,
as
if you weren't grandfathered in, they got rid of it.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, then call me Grandpa Al, because I got, like, unlimited on this baby. Well,
that's only a matter of time before that runs out on you.
Yep.
Probably.
Yep. Anyway.
Anywho. Number one contenders match, Bobby Roode, Eric Young. Was a good match live. It came off really well on TV. Great match. I really enjoyed that. Roode gets the win. So I guess they're setting up Bobby Roode and
Lashley.
Lashley. Beats me.
Whatever.
They had the X Division Scramble match, which past guest Homicide won.
Nice.
But the highlight of that match was afterwards, Storm and Sonata come out, and that's where they drag
Manic
to the back.
We were there for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we were there for all of this.
Oh.
We did see Homicide win, didn't we?
Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Listen, how long ago was that?
Like a month ago?
That's a long time.
That is a long time. That is a long time. Bobby Lashley won his Bellator fight.
Yeah. Second round.
It's Bellatarded.
Bellatarded.
I think so did King Mo, too. I think King Mo won his.
Yeah, King Mo
King
won
Mo's
his.
King Mo's a fucking MMA fighter.
TNA's
so is
two
Lashley.
For two.
Yeah, Bobby looked, he looked all right. He looked all right. He's very aggressive. He kept trying to go for that key lock, trying to break the guy's arm, but he could never really get it.
So he just kept pounding him.
I think he just choked him out.
Was that on regular TV?
Yeah, Spike TV.
Bellator's like the fucking TNA to UFC's WWF.
Yeah. And look at that. They're on the same network, too.
Weird.
I don't think it matters. I mean, I don't ever think I could step into an MMA ring and fight somebody, but Bobby Lashley beating some fucking no one at Bellator... I'm not impressed. I'm sorry.
It was a nobody.
Was he a nobody?
Yeah.
He just kind of laid there and let Bobby Lashley hit him.
Like Brock Lesnar.
Fuck about with his arm for like 20 minutes.
He looked like a little bit more built Tank Abbott without the beard.
I was just going to say Tank Abbott like. But he just laid there.
He was a can.
He didn't do anything.
He got busted open. He bled hard way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he did.
Is there any bleeding in MMA?
Well, if it's Bobby Lashley involved, who knows?
Well, if your job is just to lay there and let Bobby Lashley punch you in the face 10 times.
Dead fish.
Yeah, basically.
Do you think any one of us would be able to last 1 minute with Bobby Lashley?
What, in a conversation? No.
Absolutely
not.
Yes.
I think so. I think a minute.
What? You think you could last a minute with Bobby Lashley?
Fucking run away from him for a minute?
Matt'll be climbing the cage.
Can't get me from up here.
Na-na-na-na-poo-poo.
All right, when was the last time the four of us, like, at all, just, like, singularly has done anything remotely athletic?
I did last night, DDP yoga.
All right.
I went to the
sports,
gym the last
sports
2 weeks.
Sports-wise. Like, when's the last time, like, you threw a football or...
I was jumping on a trampoline Saturday.
Jesus
Christ.
I was
doing the Dennis Stamp workout.
Not these freaking wussy... Half-ass athletic things.
Whoa, trampolining is some fucking serious...
Dodgeball trampoline was awesome.
What?
You ever play dodgeball on a floor of trampolines?
No. Where do you go?
Oh, is that the thing with the eight trampolines?
Sky Zone up in Pine Brook.
Ooh, I know because I'm older than eight.
No, dude, that sounds like fun. I go do that tomorrow.
Dude, my spine is still hurting me.
That's why I'm not
going to
do it.
You're probably better off.
So
not
yeah,
doing
I don't
it.
Think anyone would last 30 seconds from Bobby Lashley would catch you.
Bobby Lashley,
he would
Shining Wizards Matt calling you out. Let's do a minute in the cage.
For charity.
Lashley with that light bulb head.
We'll do it for charity.
Yeah.
For the kids.
$10 a ticket.
For the kids. We'll do it in the basement for the kids. For the kids.
I think I could outrun him or at least headbutt him once.
You can't headbutt
All right,
him.
Listen.
You don't think so?
No. You know how black people have hard heads.
I thought that was Samoans.
I'll wear a shirt with a dog on it and I'll bring a bucket of water.
Do the cricket thing.
Because
I don't get it.
Does that even deserve crickets?
I don't know. Black people don't like dogs or water. I can't just...
If you would have said the match would have been in a pool, then I might have agreed with you.
Well, that's not realistic.
Yeah, but that's more funnier.
Okay, continue.
Maybe not.
All right, stop.
Like, I have no idea what to do when something like that happens. It just, like, the show just goes to a dead stop.
Yeah, it does. Okay, that's better.
What are you going to do?
Nothing like Lillian Garcia breaking her ass.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do with yourself?
All right, stop it now.
Yeah, see, you get, like, way too
you
pushy
overdo
with the
it,
buttons.
And it just gets, like, unfunny.
Yeah, good job. Right. Good job, T3.
Go be daddy.
The EC3 Rhino thing continues where fucking Carter throws everyone under the bus to protect the Carter family. Mm. Lashley beats Joe in the main event. Excuse me.
On paper, that sounds like it wouldn't be that bad. Lashley, Joe.
It wasn't.
Good.
We were there.
You saw it.
With your eyes.
I was there too.
Yeah, right? But I was like out of the zone that show. Like, it was weird, like the pacing of that show. We talked about it before, how like I just wasn't into it until the three-way tag.
Until the
match.
WWF title match or the main event?
Yeah, basically.
Was that even for the tag titles?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's okay, like the best of three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're doing like a whole tournament series.
So yeah, that was Impact in a nutshell. All
right. You know what? It doesn't sound insulting like Raw's been, so.
No, it wasn't bad.
I think Impact's been having the better shows lately than Raw, which isn't saying much, but it's 2 hours. It goes by fast. The wrestling's better. I think the wrestling's much better. The girls can really go.
The switch to Wednesdays really threw me off, though.
Me too.
So that's why, like, not that I ever really watched TNA religiously anyway, but that really threw me off about, because I have nothing to do Wednesday nights. I could actually sit down and watch Impact, but I just completely forgot.
They kind of didn't go out of their way to tell you they were switching to Wednesdays
Spike
either.
Spike TV's been terrible with advertising TNA. If they put half the effort they do into a TNA that they do for Bellator, then they might be doing better.
Skeletor.
Skeletor.
They promote the hell out of Skeletor.
They sure do.
They should.
They should. He-Man!
The new word is that they might be going to WGN America.
To TNA?
Yeah.
Wasn't really? SmackDown on... No, what was on WGN?
That's Superstars. Like out of Chicago.
Yeah.
Superstars.
Ion. Yeah, you're right,
that
Superstars.
That was Ion.
No.
Well, it could have been...
WGN is an Ion. Ion used to be the...
17.
Yeah, but it was a Christian channel before Ion.
That was the Kirk Cameron channel.
Yes, kind of.
No, but right, WGN main... Like, Superstars was on WGN, and main event was on, like,
WGN
Ion.
Is what an old superstation was. Yeah, it was like what TBS was in Atlanta before it went national with cable. So they're trying to do a national thing now, and they're getting rid of, like, all, like, the local Chicago programming so they can take a step and go national.
Well, the whole thing... is blowing up now with TNA and Spike and Vince Russo. We can probably talk about that later with news. But
I was just reading that right now.
Yeah, it's a whole Vince Russo takes a shot at Spike. Spike throws Russo under the bus and talking about negotiations with Spike and TNA. But like I said, we can get to that.
We can talk about it now. I mean,
Vince Russo says the partnership between TNA and Spike was the worst thing like ever, and Spike TV was a horrible partner, which he's not terribly off about due to the lack of advertising. And then TNA came back, or Spike came back and said that that Vince Russo like thinks way more of himself than he actually was with TNA, and like Spike went out of their way to pay Hogan, to pay Bischoff, and that they had a great relationship with Dixie, but Vince Russo was overstating his worth. And then when asked, because he basically made it like he sound like a past tense relationship with Dixie Carter, like they're definitely not going to be renewing Spike or renewing TNA. But then when asked if they were still in negotiations, the guy from Spike said, yeah, we still are. So they're still talking, but they really just railroad Russo, and Russo railroads them.
You know what? Russo has been in the news way too much lately for my liking. Writing these like open letters to Triple H and Stephanie.
Dude, I did not see that, though. I saw the headline. I didn't read it.
He was
though.
Right about everything he said.
Yeah, what did he say?
But that's what Russo does. Like,
your show's terrible.
Yeah, but Russo just states the obvious, and he makes a couple of words in all caps, and everybody's like, you know what? Russo's right. Of course he's right. It's what everybody's been saying.
Yeah, he didn't really say anything that anyone else hasn't been saying.
Unlike Eddie sitting to my right, who absolutely knew that they were going to try to throw Paul Heyman into the ring. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, I did.
But Russo just states the obvious, and he puts a little bit of his sugar on it, and everybody's like, oh, Vince Russo's a great guy.
I like that Russo sugar.
Jim Cornette is the only guy that has the balls to call Russo out for what he is, and he's just an idiot.
No, Jim Cornette calls Russo a murderer.
Well, this is true, too.
Now, you killed Owen Hart.
Killed my best friend.
You killed my best friend in the business. You dropped him from a 60-foot ceiling.
Now, why would you put him on a harness? God damn, I'm going to put a dog up there. A dog comes down, I'm going to bite somebody's head off. Now you got two dead things in the ring.
Yes.
I mean, come on now.
You're Jim Cornette.
Big Bubba Rogers is supposed to catch me.
Big Bubba.
What did he say? He was like, he's yelling, I'm hurt.
I'm and hurt.
Bubba didn't know what he was saying.
I'm
so
hurt, Bubba, I'm hurt.
Up.
That's awesome. Good stuff.
I don't think Vince Russo really has a fucking leg to stand on. Like, it's easy to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, of course.
But, like, I watched, I was telling Kevin before, I watched the WCW OMG, the 50 top moments or whatever. The fucking Judy Bagwell on a fucking, not, it wasn't, I don't even know why they called it Judy Bagwell on a pole.
She was on a,
on a fucking forklift.
She was banging a Polish guy.
No, it's because everything was on a pole.
Fucking Vampiro and Sting in a fire match?
Sting.
Yeah, then Sting falls off the whatever Nitro Tron and
you mean Canyon?
That wasn't Canyon. That was like a real stunt guy.
No, it was Canyon.
And
who did the fall from lit on fire? That was Canyon. You sure?
I think so.
Resetting the whole roster.
So. Maybe it was Marty Jannetty.
I thought it was just a regular stunt dude.
I don't know.
I mean, he's done so much, like just awful thing. This whole WCW tenure is awful.
Well, it's been said a million times. You don't have a real good mind like Vince McMahon to filter the ideas out and throw the shitty stuff away and just run with the stuff that's good. I mean, I think Vince Russo, I don't think he's his completely worthless in the history of wrestling. I think he had a place. But the WCW stuff was absolutely brutal.
Oh, I don't think he's worthless. I just think it's easy to fucking throw rocks when you have no involvement in it.
He did.
He's managed to make himself relevant all these years and still hold some sort of position in wrestling, whether it's...
Yeah, he's always somewhere.
Someone always trusts him. I don't know if it's because his relationship... Well, obviously, it has to do with his relationship with Jeff Jarrett.
Or his relationship with God. Remember he had the Jesus fed?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, this is a very religiously toned episode.
Didn't Shawn Michaels do a run-in for Sting or something on that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only time Sting and Shawn Michaels were in the same ring together, Shawn Michaels made the save. Jesus Pro or whatever the hell he was doing.
God, that sounds
so bad.
Awful.
Yeah, it was Sting versus somebody. I don't know. DiBiase was involved with that.
Yeah, and then like these like devil people came out and tried to like take his spirit or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that really happened.
I remember watching that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you guys talk about
it. You can find it on YouTube.
I'm gonna find it right now.
Tony has the DVD.
The Jesus Pro Wrestling.
I think so. Didn't you borrow it from him or didn't you give it back to him?
I never gave it back. I think I might still have it.
Hey, you have the fucking Come running down with a fucking sandwich, you fat shit.
Couldn't even get me another drink.
We have a quick visitor. You have to guess who it is.
Pete.
No, wrong. Two more guesses.
Bum?
Close. Matt?
Zach?
No, you're done.
Pub Bully?
Yes. Come on down, Pub Bully.
Are you really?
You guys didn't think you'd have
a... Oh, Jesus Christ. What the fuck? You motherfucking...
Homer just walked downstairs and threw a bra at me. It weighs more than me.
Did you want something from TNA?
Yes.
Wait, give her a mic. Put her on
a microphone. Give her a microphone.
Put this girl on a mic.
Oh, good.
Here, I got a bra on my hand.
Is that really yours?
I just busted.
That's awesome. My Dixieland shirt. Thank you so
much. Can someone give her a microphone, please?
Yeah, here, hold on.
Did you know she...
I have no idea.
Hello.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
This is, is this yours?
Yes, it is.
That's fucking huge.
God.
That is...
Your boobs are huge.
Tony, can you go to the fridge and get me 9 drinks, please?
Yeah, I'm gonna
that is something else.
We're going to hang this on the wall next to the Fallen Angels picture. where it belongs.
This is...
Somebody else wanted to get in on this. Frizendorf.
Oh.
I have to call her real quick.
Oh, boy.
She'll kill me if I don't call her.
We were just talking about Sting, Shawn Michaels, and Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And then our prayers were answered because here you are.
What brings you to this neck of the woods?
I wanted to get my revenge on Tony.
Oh, how? By hijacking our podcast?
Hell yeah.
All right.
Yo, Frizendorf.
That's one way to do it.
Hey, guess what?
You should see Kevin's
I'm with
face.
The guys.
Kev, who's driving us home?
Kevin looks like he's shocked. Matt doesn't know what the hell's going on. I threw my bra at Eddie, finally.
Was it all, like, sweaty and gross and titchies?
No.
What?
Oh, God.
No. I can't
all right,
hear
so anyway.
Her.
I totally missed
well, she
you
does
that.
Whatever she's doing on the phone over there. So, Jesus Wrestling. Did
yes,
we look
you're
this
on
up?
Speaker.
I looked this up, yeah. Hold on, this, I don't hear what they're talking
about. I
don't
want to hear this. Oh, that's what that was, a
yes,
fucking cheesesteak.
Yes, I
cheese
did.
Steak.
I brought the cheesesteak.
Oh, no shit. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, when you rang the doorbell, did Tony's wife answer?
No, Tony answered.
Oh, did he know you were coming?
No, I wanted to surprise the shit out of you guys.
Oh, well, I'm definitely surprised.
And to think I almost didn't show up tonight.
Well, I'm glad you showed up, Eddie.
No, at least you're wearing our shirt.
Yes.
Yeah. See, Tony, this is what you get when you mess around with people.
There you go. What's wrong with him?
Yeah, they know that you wanted to be here.
Yes,
of course we do. So we have Mike Dell as a guest tonight promoting Wildcat Sports and Entertainment.
I think Kathy should do the whole interview.
Oh, God, I can't do that to Luke Hawks or Mike Dell.
No, you can.
I can't. It's a terrible idea.
No, you can.
I agree. We're talking to the lifeguard? What?
No, we're not talking to the lifeguard. How come she doesn't have to take her fucking shoes off?
Oh, easy.
What?
Watch your mouth. There's women and children present.
I'm so sorry.
I gotta take my shoes off every time. Jesus.
Is it time to talk to Mike Dell yet?
She already
Not
took
yet.
Her bra off.
Soon.
What?
Soon enough.
What's
I don't know. We just got bamboozled.
Shanghai.
Look how Tony's just gone.
All right, well, he's gone, and since Kathy's here, and Kevin's pretty much punched out, and Eddie's just along for the ride now.
Always ready for the ride.
I'll cough into the microphone again. Perhaps we can talk a little Ring of Honor before we talk to Mike Dell and come back.
No, but what happened to the Jesus stuff?
Oh, I don't know. We were rudely interrupted.
Yeah, I pulled up the Jesus stuff. I was just going to play it out until something happens.
And something happened, all right.
Yes, yes. I'll play it out later.
You should have a microphone.
Yeah, don't talk off mic.
I want to know why Michael Elgin's still stuck in Canada.
Because his visa has expired.
Why doesn't he just use his MasterCard? Oh!
Wow, this is...
God. Yeah, what's going on with Michael Elgin there?
This is something else. Well, for those of you who aren't aware, Ring of Honor had an iPay-per-view and a show on Saturday. Elgin lost the title to Jay Briscoe.
Okay, and people weren't happy about that.
People weren't happy about it, and Elgin's not happy about it. And there's a lot of mixed reports out there, and Elgin put something on Facebook where he said eventually the truth will come out.
Oh, boy.
Allegedly, Ring of Honor management is unhappy because he put over Trevor Lee at Battle of Los Angeles.
Okay.
He said in an interview that he wanted to try out for a baseball team this spring. He's going to go and try out for a baseball team. And they were really upset with that because they...
Well, I don't blame them.
They put a lot into him.
I don't blame them. That's their champion.
But the quote was taken out of context. It was him promoting Ring of Honor and the promotion, and then someone asked him if he played baseball in college and high school, and he said, yeah. He said, I would have liked to try out for a baseball team.
I would have liked to.
Yes.
Not I'm going to.
That's what I read today.
Okay.
But there's so many different reports flying around. And then the last thing was his visa had expired, so that's why he dropped the title, because he couldn't come down and do all the shows in the States. And according to him today, he's still stuck in Canada. He can't be with his wife and his new house and all that shit. So it sounds like a big disaster.
So when was the show? Sunday?
Saturday?
Saturday. So he dropped the belt to Briscoe, or was
yeah.
it? Okay.
Yeah. Jay Briscoe is... the second two-time Ring of Honor champion.
Oh, PW Insider just put a statement up from Elgin right now, within the last 15 minutes or so. Yeah,
oh, look, that just came up too.
Former Ring of Honor champion Michael Elgin issued the following via his Facebook page. It's a long thing. It just says it is what it is. It's a whole big thing. Talk amongst yourself. I'll just pull
all right. So outside of that, couple highlights. Jesus Christ. Highlights from the show. If you get a chance, I highly recommend you checking out.
Kathy,
just
you
for...
want a beer or something? There's drinks in the fridge.
Yeah, there's Twisted Teas in the fridge.
Oh, well, my dinner's actually sitting in my car getting cold, but I don't care.
All right. You should have brought that in. Adam Cole, AJ Styles is worth the price of the pay-per-view. Uh-huh. The Young Bucks against Kazarian, the Red Dragon.
Yeah.
Easily match of the year. And then Kazarian and Daniels against Roderick Strong and Jimmy Jacobs was really good, too.
Okay.
So top to bottom, another great showing by Ring of Honor. I know they're back in New York at the beginning of December for what should be their second pay-per-view. So we can only hope more good things come out of Ring of Honor.
You know, I think this whole Elgin thing is probably a positive. And I'll say that for Ring of Honor, because it's something interesting going on in Ring of Honor besides good matches. Like, people's attention's like, oh, I wonder why this is happening. This is interesting. You know, it got my attention.
Yeah.
It got me wondering about it. I think it's kind of cool.
He's basically saying that, yeah, did he want to try baseball? Yes. Have you seen my baseball?
Have you seen my baseball?
But was I intending to hurt Ring of Honor or show a lack of interest? No.
My name is William, and I like to wear fingernail polish.
Many issues have arose, and it could be easy to finger point.
My name is William, and I like to wear fingernail polish. Finger point.
I'll admit I am in Canada very angry, disappointed in so many other feelings I don't feel like going into detail about.
Feelings.
All I know is that I am without my beautiful wife, our great pets, new house. We have two mortgages to pay. Yeah, basically.
Shut up. Just shut up at this point.
Just shut up, Elgin.
Shut up. Okay. Shut up. We don't care. Yeah. At this point, shut up. I don't want to hear about your life story.
Yeah, he doesn't really say
just
any
wrestle.
Real
go
specifics.
Good wrestle. Go good
go
wrestle.
Go good wrestle. Go wrestle good like.
Go wrestle goodly good. Goodly. Stop it.
Goodly gooker.
Go renew your visa.
Visa.
Stupid ass.
That
how
sucks.
Do you let that how do you let that expire?
It could be an instance where he left it in the hands of Ring of Honor management and they dropped the ball.
So he was in.
I don't know. I don't know all the details.
So he was in the States for Ring of Honor, went back to Canada.
That's where the show was.
Oh, the show was in Canada?
Yeah.
Oh.
What's that all about?
Shows how much I pay attention.
And I think as he was leaving, he got stopped because his shit was expired.
Damn.
Just a mess. That's why you don't go to fucking Canada.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to go see Smash Wrestling.
That's true. Good call, Kevin.
Look at that.
Backpedaling.
Plugging.
Okay, so before we move on, I found this Wrestling with Jesus organization that Vince Russo did. Kathy Hummer, are you familiar with the Wrestling with Jesus organization?
No, I'm not.
Okay, this was an instance where Vince Russo put on these Christian shows. And right now we have Greg the Hammer Valentine and Buff Bagwell
yes.
in the ring. And they are attacking some jabron, and they are about to beat up Sting. And Shawn Michaels is about to make the save. So if the quality sucks, I'll stop playing it right away. But this is what we got.
Did you really punch out and you're going to eat a fucking cheesesteak?
Actually, we don't have anything because I don't think Tony turned on my audio.
Boo.
Bum, 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 bum.
Is your computer on mute?
Nope. Nope. It's playing.
Oh.
That's all right.
No, it's not all right.
Maybe it's just a clip. Maybe it's... You can't trust YouTube nowadays.
No?
That's crazy.
I don't know.
With the fucking commercials and stuff? Ugh.
Yeah.
It drives me bonkers.
That is a pain in the ass.
Bonkers, I tell
you. I'll tell you if it was the clip right now. I don't think it was the clip. I just don't think I'm hooked up.
Oh.
Oh, it was good. It was good stuff.
Looks like you're all plugged. Go after that knee. There it is. Go after
that knee. You got it.
Okay, that was it. Maybe it was the clip.
Was that Taz?
Damn, Jesus did not want us to see this, did he?
That did sound like Taz, didn't it?
Well, that wasn't the clip. That was another one I was testing.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Ah, this is great stuff. Matt, what else we got? We want to move on to Raw?
Mike Dell's going to call in a couple minutes, so I mean...
Oh, yo, look at that. How time flies when you're having marginal fun.
Damn, son.
Listen, the fun showed up.
That's right.
And then Kathy got here.
I'm sorry. Thanks, Kevin.
You got it.
There you go.
What time is Mike Dell calling in?
7:30.
All right. Yeah, we are going to take a break right now. We're going to await the call of the one man, Mike Dell.
And Kathy is doing the entire interview.
Kathy will be the Barbara Walters of this very prestigious interview.
Absolutely.
Sweet.
So,
thanks,
so we will be right back.
Idea,
it's not mine.
It's mine.
I agree. It's a bad idea.
It's not my idea.
Oh, Matt, you're just jealous.
That's right.
All right,
you're
we'll be right back.
I picked Kathy
we'll
do it. Kathy's going to do the interview.
We'll be right back.
your new symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, only on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, RantEMRadio.com, GeekLifeRadio.com, iTunes, Audio Boo, and Stitcher.
What's up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My Five Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Finally Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media, to when it was all about records, Walkman, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audio Boo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5-4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Finish this episode of The Shining Wizards, get off that $12 whore you just tore apart, and check out Neckbreaker, the only podcast on professional wrestling and heavy metal music. Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts get completely shit-faced. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on Neckbreaker.net. Or follow their lousy updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast. Just like Ziggler at the Garden, this ad is over.
Hey everybody, Stickman here. If you're looking for pro wrestling news and interviews that you can use, then be sure to check out the Apex Radio Show, covering the Ontario wrestling scene and way beyond. We are the pro wrestling podcast of Canada's capital, so listen in as we talk with the finest in the pro wrestling business and keep you up to date on what's going on in the local wrestling scene. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Apex Radio. Apex Radio, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Available for download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, Podcasts.com, and of course at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Silver, right here to tell you about Two and a Half Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. Two and a Half Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network. Howdy!
GeeksOfTheIndustry.com, with such fantastic programming as Chatastrophe, Pro Wrestling Nation, Two for Flinching, Sleeve Notes, Wrestling with Smut, Cart Glitch International, the Mega Powers Radio Podcast, and the flagship Geeks of the Industry. Go to GeeksOfTheIndustry.com now.
Hey everyone, this is Justin from the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast. When you're done with this great episode, we would love for you to give our show a try. We cover pop culture, geek news, music, sports, and of course, professional wrestling. Just search for Inconclusive Breakdown on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud.
In professional wrestling, only real men can wear pink and black. And now, thanks to the Shining Wizards, you can too. Available at ShiningWizards.com/merch, the brand new Shining Wizards logo Heart Attack version t-shirts. They're limited in numbers and limited in size, so get yours now at ShiningWizards.com/merch.
Hey guys, it's Tony, and I just want to let you guys know that Evolve is coming to the New York area this weekend, starting with Evolve 34 on September 13th. Go into the Queensboro Elks Lodge on Queens Boulevard in Elmhurst, New York. That's Queens, in case you didn't know. Tickets are on sale at dgusa.tv. You can watch the iPay-per-view at wwnlive.com. There's an Evolve Championship match. Drew Galloway defends his title against Rich Swann. The Open the United Gate Championship match. Harlem and Lancelot Bravado defend against the Colony of Fire Ant and Green Ant. UHA Nation takes on Roderick Strong. Zack Sabre Jr. takes on Timothy Thatcher. Johnny Gargano is going to be there. Sue Young, Anthony Nice. Also this weekend, Evolve 35 is going to be Sunday. That's going to be at the Brooklyn Lyceum. Jesus, I butchered that. But that's going to be over in Brooklyn. Again, dgusa.tv, wwnlive.com, on the iPay-per-view. Jack Sabre takes on Biff Busick. Ricochet defends the Open the Freedom Gate Championship against UHA Nation. Drew Galloway is going to be there. The Bravado Brothers, Johnny Gargano, Anthony Nice and Caleb Conley. Roderick Strong, Rich Swann, Drew Gulak, ugh, plus many other people. Don't forget, check out Evolve this weekend if you're in the five boroughs. Queens on Saturday, Brooklyn on Sunday for Evolve 34 and 35. Head on over to dgusa.tv for more information.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he will be taking part in the Wildcat Sports and Entertainment Show this Saturday night at the Gracie King Auditorium, vying to get back his Wildcat Heavyweight Championship. He is the one and only one man, Mike Dell.
Yeah.
Listen to that ovation.
That might have been the best intro I've ever given because I didn't stutter through it.
Exactly. Yeah. We were clapping more for Matt than we were for you, Mike.
Yeah, we're proud of Matt.
Woo, I graduated.
Okay. I bring the breast out in people, I guess.
You do. Go.
Did you say best or breast?
Yeah. Best.
I heard breast, but...
I thought I heard breast, too.
Breasts excite me more.
Oh, gross. No, I was saying that. Sorry. She was touching you.
All right.
Mr. Dell.
Yes.
How are you tonight, sir?
I'm good.
Yeah. A lot of people not familiar with you. You go way back, East Coast professional wrestling.
Yes.
Our roots. You actually used to wrestle with fucking fat tits over here, Tony.
Jesus.
Tony was actually one of my I think in storylines up there. He was one of my first feuds.
That's right. We actually had a match which furthered your story with I guess Jackie Black after he became Electric Eric Archer. Jackie. Yeah, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh wow. I haven't heard that name in years. Is he still wrestling?
No. He's doing some other kind of work now. He hasn't wrestled for a while, but yeah, we're still in touch with Dave. He's doing well.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the guys up there, I mean, the only person I think I talked to, from East Coast Professional Wrestling besides Gino, in the last, maybe like, I don't know, five, 10 years was my old partner, Dave Delicious. That was because I was visiting up, I was up there visiting up in the state, up in the States, like I'm in Europe, up in Jersey, which is, it's like another world from here in Texas. And I was up there and I actually went to one of the East Coasters having a show and I just stopped in to say hi, and Dave was there, and that's where I first realized that how different the accents are with Texas and New Jersey, because Dave started talking. He said, "Why don't you give me a call?" Yes. I was like, "What?
What's that mean?
Give you a what?" And now I know how people felt when I first moved down here, because I guess I'm sure when I first moved down there, my New Jersey accent was very strong, but I lost a lot of it,
I'll never get
to the point where I'm saying y'all or anything like that, but that's what, but I guess I became more neutral. But, yeah.
Mike, how long have you been down in Texas?
I've been down here since 2001.
God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Been wrestling the entire time as well.
Yep.
There's not too many guys that were up at Geno's back when we started up there. When did you start? It was about 98 or so?
98, 99.
Yeah, it was around that time. Yeah, there's not too many guys actually left that are still working, let alone working for Gino at this point. Thanks, Kathy. Just enjoy your sandwich for everybody else. I'm sorry if there's rustling in the background. We actually have a studio audience tonight, so we're just trying to get them to get in line. Anyway, 98, what makes you start to get into wrestling? Were you a fan of wrestling growing up?
Yeah, I started watching, wrestling in the mid-80s. It's basically, I think it was right after Rocky III.
Nice.
You saw Thunderlips, and that was Hogan. And I was like, well, who's this guy? I never even knew who he was. I wasn't watching wrestling. I loved the Rocky movies. And I was like, they're like, yeah, he's a real wrestler. I was just like, I didn't even know what the hell wrestling was. I was like, well, I knew it was out there, but I didn't know about the whole, what it was all about. And so I tuned in one day, and it was him beating the Iron Sheik for the heavyweight title. Wow. And, I watched him because he was the only one I knew. I was like, oh, that's the guy from Rocky III. Thunderlips is the new champion.
Yeah, that was a doozy of a match to actually get involved in.
It was the match that basically changed the landscape of wrestling and started Hulkamania. Yeah. So
that was the first match I ever saw.
Wow.
Now, were you just a fan of WWF, or did you know about the NWA, the AWA?
No, I was just a fan of WWF. I had no idea about, in the early 90s, late 80s, I had heard of Ric Flair. Was the only one, and Sting were the only ones that I really heard of from NWA. And it's kind of funny, ironically, that's why one of the companies I work for now, predominantly. But I was watching WWF, and when I got down here, everyone's like, hey, where did you start wrestling? I tell them, like, I was up in Jersey, we mostly watched WWF, and they were just like, oh, well, down here, everyone says, I remember going to see the Von Erichs, every single person down there. I remember going to see the Von Erichs. And the only Von Erich I knew of was, Terry, when he was for a short time, he was in WWF. And, of course, I know the tragic story as well, the whole family killing themselves and all that, but that was about it as far as Southern wrestling.
Yeah, when you moved to Texas, what was the wrestling scene like compared to the Jersey wrestling scene at the time? Was it completely different, fan base? What was it like?
Yeah, it was a whole different world in general, obviously. They loved their wrestling down here. I think up in New Jersey was more of like a, it was more of like a, more business, like, I'm not going to say more business, because there's a lot of good companies down here that are very business, but, it seemed like people would just go to shows up there that they weren't as, I'm not going to say they're not hardcore, but I think they more went there to basically make fun of people.
Oh, what, a Geno's?
Any wrestling show I did outside of Geno's or anything, in New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, I wrestled all over there.
Yeah.
And, they're just, they're great fans, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the times, you would do shows, and so a lot of Geno's shows were like that, where, people were, they didn't give a shit that, of what was going on with the storylines or anything. They were just going there to, yell some shit out and, and have a good time.
Yeah,
here, they paid more attention. Like, oh, my God, are you going to get this guy back for doing this to you in the ring? And I'm just like, yeah.
Yes, this is...
I was glad to see that. I was like, oh, shit, they actually are paying attention.
Yeah, also when you started at Geno's, it was like the boom of wrestling again with the Attitude Era and everything like that, and a whole new group of fans basically was involved, a lot of vocal people, lot of people with the NWO, Austin 316, all that stuff. So you had the vocal people, and then this is also around the time when fans were starting to become a little more smartened up to the business. And then when you think of, you go over to Texas, it seems like people are more like into the show, into the storylines, like you said. So it seems like it was basically two different worlds.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a great time, but, both ends of the spectrum. I mean, I love that era. It was great for the fans. It was great to be a wrestler during that time as well, because if you did make it to the big companies, WCW, ECW, WWF, one would let you go, or one, you just go to the other one, and, or they fight over you, and you would get big money either way. Now that those days are over, it was just a great time. And, I love the fan, it was fun. I remember being in New York, we were wrestling right in the middle of Harlem. It was for Geno, actually.
Whoa.
And, I wrestled against Geno. I was supposed to be a heel, against him. And I go out there and everyone had these hats that said Harlem for sale. I mean, it was, basically you're in the middle of Harlem. So the whole crowd was predominantly black people. And they had Harlem not for sale or something. I guess someone was buying up land there to, redo it or whatever. And they're like, this is our home, blah, blah. And I came out and saw the hats. And I was sitting there saying, oh, Harlem's not for sale because now I own it.
Oh,
and I would yell that out. And then nice. Then before me and Gino locked up, I yelled, hey, you people, shut up. I own you.
Oh, God.
And then we locked up, and Gino goes, watch the racial slurs. I said, what the hell are you talking about? He goes, you just told the 300 black people you own them. I was just like, oh, shit. And you know what the fucked up thing was? They actually cheered me when I succeeded to win. They were cheering for me the whole match. I was like, what? I guess they just thought it was funny.
Modern-day Robert Parker.
That's phenomenal.
So, that's awesome.
And Mike, it's been documented in like major DVDs like the Monday Night War, how there's a blatant difference between how wrestling is promoted in the North, obviously via Vince McMahon, and how it was in the South, where NWA, WCW was a wrestling company, where WWE was a sports entertainment, is a sports entertainment company. Does it trickle down to all the levels like that?
Down here?
Yeah, in Texas. Is it sports entertainment? Is it wrestling?
Yeah, it's all sports entertainment.
All right.
Yeah. The wrestling days are, no, I mean.
So everyone's trying to just put on a show as opposed to a wrestling card?
Yeah, I don't know, half and half. I mean, there's some companies that, you know, they run like, I don't know, once every, you know, 4 or 5 months that I work for, and they put on a show. You know, you go out there and then you have companies like NWA, who's predominant down here. You know, that's not a show. That's a wrestling. You know, you're going there. There's storylines going. There's, you know, wrestling all over the place. There's promos. There's this. There's that. You know. But the smaller companies, they're just like, you know, hey, look what we got. All right, see you next time. And there's no continuity whatsoever, or kind of business to it.
Now, right, so. You mentioned NWA in Texas. That's still, you know, a popular thing, because I know in the Northeast there's been NWA affiliates here and there, like NWA on Fire, things like that. But in Texas, there's an NWA affiliate that's actually still running?
Yeah, yeah. What happened was, I forget who, was it Bill Barons or someone that owned NWA, and there was a court case, and the owner's now Bruce Thorpe, and, he goes by Tony Brooklyn. His real name's Chris something. I honestly don't know his it starts with a C as well, I believe. I'm horrible with names. I really am. they bought it. They basically got it out of the court case or something. So, and they're based in Houston. So there's this company, NWA Houston, that's basically the main one. And I wrestled for them. They also have, you know, there's a company right here in San Antonio where I live, NWA Branded Outlaw Wrestling. That's one of the bigger, federations. A very good company there here, and NWA Houston's very, you know, and they were branching out to Japan. Some of the wrestlers went over to Japan. I actually was like, me and this guy Ryan Genesis were all set to be sent over there for a tag team tournament, and then I think it was like 2 weeks or 3 weeks before he was supposed to leave, they canceled it.
Oh,
they canceled it. Yeah, and we had all our paperwork and had everything.
Oh, so close.
Yeah, believe me, I was pissed.
Yeah, I would have been pissed too. That's like a dream.
People have gone over there, and they come up, New Japan comes over here and does the NWA shows, and I mean they're trying their damnedest. I mean they're trying to make it, you know, back up to, you know, back when NWA was all over the television.
Right.
So that's their goal.
Yeah,
and,
you don't really hear
like
much.
4 or 5 years in the drawing.
You don't really hear much about NWA here in the Northeast. I think that's cool that it's still something, you know, for people to work, and it's actually drawing crowds and promoting good shows. Now, when you made the move from New Jersey all the way to Texas, how did you land back into the professional wrestling game, so to speak? I mean, did you put out feelers? Did you have a place to work right away?
It was pretty quick. I got down here, and my buddy that I was staying with for a little while at the time, you know, I got down here, I was just like, oh, you know, I want to keep over, you know, I want to like to find a wrestling game. So we basically just went online, and the first one we found was Southwest Wrestling Federation. It was owned by this guy named J.L. Murillo. And I contacted him, and I said, hey, you know, I'm a wrestler in Jersey. I have, you know, 3 years experience, blah, blah, blah. And so he met up with me at a Jason's Deli or something. And I showed him pictures and stuff. And And he, you know, he looked at me, he's like, well, you know, you're in good shape, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, why don't you come to the training facility and meet the guys? And then, you know, so I said, cool, you know. So I showed up at the training facility, and, you know, there's like four guys there. And this guy, Alex, I remember his name. He used to go by El Tiburón. And I haven't talked to the guys in years and years. I don't even know if he's still alive, but he was their head trainer. And he's, like, kid, Dale showed up. He's like, hey, why don't you get in there with Alex? And I'm sitting there thinking, this guy's going to, you know, this guy's, he's a head trainer. He's got to know what he's doing, you know? And I get in there and I just wrestle circles around him, just chain wrestling, you know, just, he's just, how did you, where'd you learn to do that? How did you do this? How did you do this? I'm just like, this is just basic shit.
Yeah.
And Wichino, I think of like a lot, like he made sure, you know, Tony remembered this. When you trained with Gino, he would say, hey, he'll show you the basics to a T, but all the other shit, like hurricanrana, and all that stuff you learn, you do on your own.
Right.
He didn't go show you that. And he would blast that in their head all the time. So I go in, I'm just doing all this basic stuff. You know, the other stuff I just learned from other wrestlers. Hey, how do you do this? How do you do this? You know, that's how I did it. And like, JL watches this, and he pulls me aside. He's like, hey, do you want to be the head trainer? I said, why? I go, how long has this guy been your head trainer? He's just like, well, he goes, dude, I saw you wouldn't, and you know a hell of a lot more than he does. And actually, Paul London also became a head trainer there. So me and Paul London were the head trainers of this company, the first company that I started working for down here.
Oh, so, wow.
Not a bad deal.
No, that's
not a bad
perfect
game to start
timing.
With.
And you described Gino's training to a T. You learn the fundamentals, and you got to learn everything else on your own.
Yep.
So you get yourself settled down there in Texas. You work for Anarchy Championship Wrestling. How did you come in contact with Luke Hawks and Wildcat Sports?
Wildcat's the other that's basically one of the main companies I work for now. How I met him was I did a TNA tryout, one of their gut checks.
Yep.
And that's how I met him. He was doing it too. And I remember I was wrestling this guy who was the drizzliest of shit. I mean, put it this way: when they were doing one-on-ones with us, they we're all sitting in the ring and they would talk to us, you know, one-on-one. D'Lo Brown goes, "That's that guy I was wrestling." He goes, "How long have you been wrestling?" He goes, 9 years. And D'Lo goes to him, "I wouldn't have guessed 9 months."
Oh my God!
I had to use every muscle in my body to hold myself from laughing so hard because it was such a funny line. But you know, I just had to. But Luke, I guess, you know, he took a liking to me. He liked the way I was moving around. And, you know, I was making this guy look as good as I could. You know, he really sucked. It was just so bad. I would tell him, hey, you know, he'd go shoot me off. I'd be like, you know, backdrop. Drop kick me right in the chest.
Oh.
And I grab him and I pick him up and I go shoot Michael. Reverse backdrop. Shoots me off. Drop kicks me right in the chest. I got right up, put him in the stomach, gave him the one-timer and then pinned him. But, it was just like, I couldn't, you know, he was like a floppy fish. It was just all kinds. He just shouldn't have been in the business. But I made it look as good as I could.
Right.
And, you know, and I think Luke saw this when I got out of the ring. I heard Luke going, come on, Mike, come on. You know, and I had not even met Luke yet. And then after, like, when I slid out of the ring, when I was done with him, I was all down, like, oh, my God, you know, this, there goes it. And he said, and Luke came up to me. He's like, hey, that was really good stuff. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, that guy was horrible. He goes, yeah, but you look good, and you look like you're never doing it. You're trying to carry him. And he was like, you know, he goes, don't worry, D'Lo is a, you know, D'Lo knows. And sure enough, when they did what I was telling you, they're doing the one-on-ones, he had said to me, he goes, Mike, you got a great look. He goes, because you have great ring presence, don't change a thing. Because I was all like, oh, you know, I'm screwed.
Yeah. That must have been stressful as hell, just getting there and then being paired up with someone that just didn't know what the hell they were doing for such an important tryout like that.
What pissed me off most about it was I also did a tryout for WWE, and I had wrestled this guy that they used to wrestle at, he's actually retired now, but this guy Jacobs Pliskin, and a lot of the people in WWE knew of him and didn't like him, but they paired me and him up, and we start doing this match. And basically, when you do a match, you know, for them, they want to see that you know the basics, and that's all they want to see. They don't want to see you fucking, you know, all kinds of fucking crazy, like, you know, high-flying bullshit. They want to make sure you just know what you're doing so you're not going to hurt someone and you're able to be trained more. So I'm sitting there trying to do all these moves with him, and he's going, because he did a few matches for them before. He's trying all this new shit. Like, he's trying new stuff in front of them that he hasn't even done yet. I'm like, sitting there, they stopped our match. They said, stop the match. I was like, oh.
Oh, God.
You know? Yeah, and then I told Jake, I was like, you know, get away from me. I'm going to punch you right in the fucking face. You know, I'm just, you know, because he pissed me off so bad. Because he was sitting there complaining to all the guys, oh, that match sucked. I was like, yeah, it was your fault. You know, if you didn't try like crazy bullshit, you know, would have gone better. So, and, you know, so when I did the gut check thing with TNA, I was like, oh my, you know, not that Jagus was a good wrestler. You know, I'm not going to compare those two. Jagus was a good wrestler. He knew what he was doing. But the shit, to try new shit at a trial was just like, what are you doing? Are you nuts?
Yeah. That's,
you know,
crazy.
It was just like, so it was kind of almost the same situation to where, again, I was fucked on the match I was in, you know, in front of one of the big companies. I'm just like, I can't believe this. And then when D'Lo told me, you know, how much he liked my work, I was like, oh, great, you know, thank God, at least I got some. But, you know, so I never got signed by them, so it couldn't have been that great.
Well, you know, that's the way the world works, and I guess everything happens for a reason. You're quite successful right now. You're doing a lot of cool shit. And I was talking with Matt the other day about another cool project that you were a part of that included Stone Cold Steve Austin. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that experience?
The Broken Skull.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Steve Austin, he's a great guy. You know, I got to meet him, and he was funny and stuff. You know, but, you know, I'm not a reality television fan. And after you do a reality show, you're just like, oh, this is why I'm not a reality television fan. You know, they basically, reality is a very strong word.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in my, you know, I got eliminated in the first round, and they only showed 2 minutes of that whole thing that I did with that guy, you know, me and my opponent for that round. We actually went, like, everyone before us, we were the last to go, and everyone before us went, like, you know, 10, 15 minutes tops. Me and this guy, Dave, went 35 minutes.
Jeez.
Neither of us were letting go with the rope. They changed the rules twice. Like, they changed it to, okay, only have one hand on the rope. We're still throwing each other around. Neither of us will let go on the rope. They said, okay, let's do this. Let's, you can go back to all the fans, rope. Whoever forces who out of that rectangular sand pit we're in, whoever forces the person out of the box without letting go of the rope, they win. So we're both dead tired. And actually, my opponent, he had a hard time getting up a couple of times. And I think if they had kept it going with the same rule, the original rule, I think he probably wouldn't have gotten through it. And I probably would have been able to go on. But so we get to that, they changed rules again. And all he did was basically, he gets to the side, and he laid down on his side and sort of pulled me over the side. If I let go of the rope, I lost. So he rolled me over, so I hooked his arm to try and get his arm to touch outside the box, but my shoulder touched first. So they take me off and they do the exit interview. What do you think? And you saw my exit interview. I was, you know, happy. You know, I mean, I was down that I was out, but I was just like, hey, you know, that was a brutal, you know, back and forth. You know, I can't wait for everyone to see it. And right. I come back and I walk up and they're like, okay, we're going to reshoot the ending. I said, what?
Wow. Weird.
And yeah, so they basically reshot the ending where he pulls the rope for me. That never happened. that was something we staged.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yep.
That is, that's
insane. It was absolute bullshit. And what pissed me off, I said to him, I said, wait, you know, how are the fans going to know that, you know, how long this thing went? You know, me and Buck just busted our asses. You know, like, how are they going to know? And they're like, don't worry, we'll take care of it. They showed 2 minutes of that goddamn thing. And it looked like shit. I was like, fuck this. I went right on Facebook and plastered everything about the show.
And I said, awesome.
This is what happened. I told them exactly what happened. Just what I told you, I told them that's exactly what happened. I said, to make sure everyone knows that he never got that rope from me.
Wow.
And that's how I got eliminated in the first round.
Man.
And he was 25. I'm 41. And, you know, and so.
Jesus. You're making a habit out of getting these awesome experiences and then just getting fucked.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, like, yeah, they flew you out there, right? And you get up to California. You couldn't leave your room. You couldn't talk to anybody because, you know, it was the contest. When we were in the van being traveled, taken to, like, you know, get our physical and stuff like that, the van drivers didn't give a fuck if we talked.
Yeah.
But, like, if the producers were around, you couldn't even say anything to each other. It was, like, kind of nerve-wracking. Like, you know, you couldn't do it. You had to stay in your room. But you couldn't go out and sightsee or nothing. It's the first time I'd ever been in California.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there in Hollywood, California. I can't go anywhere. The only reason I got to see the Hollywood sign is because when they took me to get my physical, it was off of Hollywood Boulevard. So, you know, they drove down Hollywood Boulevard where they had the premieres and all that stuff. And, like, one of the offices, you could see the Hollywood sign on the mountain. So I took a picture of it, and they said, hey, I'm in Hollywood.
Was the interaction with Steve Austin also limited because they were filming the show and they kind of kept you separate?
Yeah, we didn't see Steve until we he was in at the hotel or nothing. Like, he had his own trailer and stuff actually at the location. They would drive us out to this location. You know, if you saw the show, you know, it was just, you know, just hills and dirt. And I remember it was fucking freezing. But when we started, like, actually filming, that's when he showed up. And between takes, you know, I would talk to him. I went up to him and started talking to him. I was like, hey, because he knew I was a wrestler. And I went up to him and, you know, started bullshitting with him. I was like, hey, you know, I hadn't seen you at the WWE shows. You know, sometimes I would do the, you know, when they would come around, they would use, you know, the independent wrestlers, you know, the enhancement talent.
Yeah.
And every time I was there, he just wasn't there. So I was just like, I was like, hey, you know, and he goes, yeah. And he started laughing. He goes, yeah, I haven't been by there in a while. And, you know, and we started bullshitting a little bit about wrestling. And then, and then they started another take or whatever. But, he was hilarious. He was nice. He was cool. He was funny. You know, he wasn't like, you know, he wouldn't act superior to you. You know, he was one of the guys. And that's what I really liked about him. You know, he wasn't like, hey, you know, don't talk to me. You're a contestant.
Yeah. Well, so. you've been in the wrestling business for a long time. And like you just said, Steve Austin seemed like very approachable, very friendly. In your travels, I'm sure you've come across some people that were a little ego driven or standoffish. You have any experiences with that side of the business, just dealing with basically total assholes?
Yeah, when I did I did a WWE show, and Elijah Burke was still with them. I think he's like the Prince something in TNA, or they probably dumped him too. I don't know.
Yeah, he's
but
gone.
Me and him got into it in the locker room because I remember it was in Houston, and it was me, my buddy the late great Spiro, and Rory Fox, and they basically were out there and we're doing like just rolling around the ring and stuff like that, and then basically they come out and they start doing production. When they start doing production, they want you away from, they don't want you in that same room. Right. Well, it's not a room; it's the arena. They like, go anywhere, go to catering. Go back to your locker room. Don't be in here because they're afraid you're going to record what they're talking about and send out the results before the show. And, so we had already had catering and stuff. So we went into the locker room, and Elijah Burke for some reason came into our locker room prior to that because I guess the other guys didn't want him in the regular locker room for the regular boys. And he hadn't been on TV in like 3 months. And he comes in, and there was a TV in there, so I turned the TV on. I started watching Family Guy, and he comes in acting all, even when he first came in the room, he was such a dick. Like, he comes in, he's like, "Cause yeah, I'm gonna take over this room," and we're like, "Look at him, like, you know." And I forgot. I think Rory had asked him. Rory was just like, "He goes, aren't you, this is for the enhanced guys? Are you, aren't you supposed to be in that locker room?" So yeah, I'm gonna take this one over. I heard him say it. I was on the shitter. But I heard him say it. I came out of the bathroom and, introduced myself and whatever. And he was kind of like, he's like, that's kind of a dick, but whatever, Yeah. Maybe he's just having a bad day. So, and then, I just started having production. We walk back in and I turn on Family Guy. And he comes in and he's like, man, you guys sitting here watching Family Guy? And I said to him, I was just like, well, they kicked us out of production, so we can't be by the ring. We already ate, so we're not going to go to catering. And this is the only we can't go anywhere, until the show starts. And I said, by the way, what time does the show start? He goes, I don't know, man. I was like, oh, that's right. You haven't been on TV in about 3 or 4 months. I didn't think you would. And he got pissed. And he goes, what'd you say? And I jumped right up in his face. Like, motherfucker, I will destroy you.
Yes.
And I was like, come on. I go, take a swing. And he was just like, I saw, dude, I'll whoop your ass. And he was like sitting there like, yeah, whatever, man, whatever. I was like, don't just sit there and say whatever. Do something. And he wouldn't. And remember Crime Time, the bigger dude of Crime Time?
Shad.
He came in, and he was like, come on, guys. And, sort of like, then I was like, yeah, whatever. I was like, yeah, get your boy out of here. And and they left. They walked out, and he was nice. The Crime Time guy was really nice. But, yeah, Elijah Burke was a complete douchebag. And fucking hate that motherfucker. But, really, I'll never forget it because I'm sitting there. And he's in the same building as, like, The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And The Undertaker's coming up to us and checking on us. Hey, you guys eat? You guys okay? You guys good? The Undertaker.
Wow.
This guy's the top dog in the fucking company, and he's making sure we're all right. And
yeah.
This piece of shit that had only been in the WWE for, like, what, a year? And he was only on TV for half a year? He's going to talk to us like that? I was like, are you kidding me?
Well, that's probably why he's not around much anymore. I guess he's just an asshole, hard to deal with. Jesus Christ.
That was a, oh my God.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard it wasn't just with me. I've heard he's had problems all, you know, in the indies and stuff like that. A lot of people don't like working with him because he's a dick.
Yeah, yeah, and he likes it too.
I think Luke mentioned it in his shoot interview that he fucking hates Elijah Burke too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Wow.
Yeah, Luke's like a lot like me, you know, like it's just, you know, you're not going to, you know, me and him are out busting our asses, you know, on independence and stuff like that, trying to get up there, and you're going to, a place where you came from, you're shitting on now? Fuck you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, get the fuck out of here. And but the original question was about Wildcat, right?
Yeah, we'll bring it back to Wildcat. Your involvement, are you just a talent there, or do you train the guys? Because I know Luke, he puts a lot of stock into you. He speaks very highly of you. He did tell you through me to fuck off, so whatever.
Yeah, we're close.
But what,
he's just mad because I took the title from him. But he really liked my when he saw my work, and so we stayed in touch. We, like, you know, at TNA we you know, exchanged numbers or whatever, and we stayed in touch. We texted over here and there, and then he was like, hey, I want to bring you into Wildcat. I want to, you know, it was in Louisiana, you know, that's where Saturday is in Louisiana, you know. I was like, okay. He goes, well, he wanted to wait to bring me in because he wanted to make sure I got paid well. He didn't want to just you know try and bring me in for a low amount. He was like, yeah, you know, fuck that, you're above that. So, you know, right off the bat, he was respecting me and all that, you know, in the business. And so I got out there, and his product is fantastic. I mean, Wildcat is like, you know, one of the top shows I do. I mean, he constantly, like, he'll get a show and he'll draw like 400 to 500, and he'll be upset that that's all he drew.
Wow.
I mean, meanwhile, like, I'm here, you know, when I'm here in Texas, so if there's a show here that, you know, and there are shows that do draw that, you know, that's like a good night for them. Like, hey, we do 500, you know, in the smaller arenas they have here. And, but, you know, his typical is, you know, 700, 800. But, you know, his shows are always, you know, it's good quality stuff. He's got really good wrestlers, you know, on it, you know, that he's trained, and then wrestlers that he brings in. You know, that's how he brings in, you know, CB Rich's lot, you know, and that's how I became friends with him. And I both, you know, me and him always fuck with each other on Facebook and all that. But I'm not one of his trainers or anything like that. Like, you know, when the students ask me something, you know, I talk to them, but, and then sometimes they'll ask me to watch their matches, and I'll do that for them and critique them, but that's not it. I'm not a trainer or anything like that for him. No, I'm just one of his talents, pretty much, right, that he brings in.
Now, you came up again, we brought this up in, you know, late 98, 99. You see these kids coming up today. Is their style different? Does it seem like they have the same respect for the business, the same knowledge, or does it seem like they're on a different level than you were when you first started?
I mean, I would say, you know, people like, I mean, I've run into young guys that will, I'm not going to lie, that'll be like, they think they already know everything. But I mean, it's not the most common thing, I would say. I mean, most young wrestlers that I know, you know, when they see me, they come up to me like, oh, can you watch my match? Oh, can you, you know, check this out? They're very nice, and they want to know, and they want to know. You know, those people always feel like, wow, these guys are, I'm really glad they're coming into the business. You know, but I've met people like, I remember this one guy I wrestled. I wrestled him, and I remember, like, when he did the, you know, the Irish whip, he, like, launched me. Like, all he's supposed to do is basically guide the person, and then they'll run. They'll hit the ropes, and they'll come off. Because if you launch them, they're going to, you know, they can lose their footing or whatever. This guy launches me. Like, dude, yeah. And I come back, and I close on him down, and I pick him up, and I was just like, and everything. And, you know, I didn't shoot on him or anything like that for something so small. And we got in the back, and he asked me the thing. And I told him, I was like, well, listen, one of the things, I was like, don't shove the person. And he goes, well, you're all oily.
Come on.
That's why I did that. And I have tape around my wrist, so it doesn't matter how oily I am or not.
Right.
You got my wrist tape to grab onto. And right there, I was done. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I got it. And I walked away. Because that's someone right there that really, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to be critiqued. They're going to have an excuse for everything you tell them.
Right. You can tell. You can tell right off the bat.
Yeah, I was like, yep, fuck it. You know, okay, yep, yeah, you know, everything was fine. And I walked away. I just didn't feel the need. And because I was like, everything I say, he's going to have an excuse for it. My buddy Houston Carson, we talk about that all the time. As soon as someone like says an excuse, and we're trying to tell them something, we're like, well, all right, we're out of here.
Yeah.
You don't want to deal with all of that. What actually brought you to Texas from Jersey? Because I know Jersey is just so wonderful and hard to leave. It's hard to leave here. But what caused the transition? Girlfriend?
No, actually, right before I left, I was pretty much engaged.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I broke up with her, and a month later, I packed my shit and I was gone. Jersey, I the only thing I miss out of Jersey, I mean, besides friends and stuff, and, you know, and family, I'm not counting that. The only thing I miss from Jersey is the food. You know, I fucking miss the food. You know, pizza places on every corner. Yeah. They're not chain pizza places, and, you know, you have your meatball parm for lunch, and you know. And your chicken parm sandwiches, God, I miss all that. And their Chinese food up there is so much better. And, you know, and so, you know, because the pizza down here in Texas is absolutely fucking awful. I mean, there's a few places that, you know, are okay. And there's actually a lot of places that are opening up lately that are like New York style pizza, New York, New Jersey style pizza. And I think they're catching on to, hey, people don't fucking want fucking the shit you're selling.
I can't wrap my head around the fact that there's actually Chinese food in Texas.
Oh, it's bad. It's really bad. It sucks.
Like, I don't. When I think of Texas, the last thing I think about is, you know, eating
China?
Cats.
yeah, but you know, as far as the reason I moved, what happened was I wanted to leave New Jersey, not only because it was, you know, I hated the cold weather for one thing. I always have. You know, and it was only like 3 months of warmth, and then we were right back to fucking cold, and I hated it. And you know. And so I wanted to get, and also New Jersey, you know, at the time was very, very expensive, and I'm sure it still is.
Yes.
And my buddy Kenny, who used to live up in New Jersey, that's how I knew him, and he had moved to Florida at one point, and I had moved down there when he was down there. I lived there for like a year, and I moved back. Because it was right out of high school, you know, you got you're stupid and young, and you're homesick, and you go back home thinking, oh, everything's better back there. And I got back, and I regretted it. I'm like, why the fuck did I come back to this place? So he wound up moving here over here to Texas, and so I went and visited him here, and I was, you know, thinking of moving south. And this place, you know, I was in Austin at the time, and it was fucking fantastic. You know, they had this place called Sixth Street. You go in there, it's just wall-to-wall bars and, you know, restaurants and clubs. And, you know, it was just a blast. It was, you know, it was warm as hell and all year round. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of months that it gets kind of chilly. You know, it'll drop into the 40, 30s and 40s, but nothing like up in, you know, Jersey. Like, basically, Jersey's fall is the winter here. You know, it only lasts like 2 months, 3 months maybe. And so I came out and was like, fuck, this is where I want to move. And at the time, I was, like I said, I was pretty much engaged when I went, you know. So for another 2 years, I stayed in New Jersey only because of her, this girl I was with. And she wanted to stay in Jersey to be near her family. But the fucked up thing was she hated her family. I'm like, why do you want to be near people you hate? But whatever. So as soon as we broke up, my shit was packed. And like I said, I was gone. I came down here and figured, okay, I'll just get my wrestling roots down here and, you know, continue my career.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you talk about, you know, ex-girlfriends and Jersey. You and I, Mike, we have an interesting connection. And no, we did not share an ex-girlfriend or anything like that. However, my father and I work for a bank. And I don't know if this is the ex-girlfriend you're talking about, but she also worked for a bank. And she was telling us one day, or my father, about a professional wrestler that she knows, and she's going to go watch him wrestle at ECPW in Lake Hiawatha. So that's how I was introduced to, you know, the character One Man Mike Dell, and ECPW was through your girlfriend who worked at the bank at the time. So I just find that kind of funny.
Yeah, that was her.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Bazinga.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, it's funny, like, it was one of the cleanest breakups ever. Like, I told her, don't ever contact me again. Went up to do it, and she said okay, and we never talked to each other again or saw each other again.
Oh, that's the best.
I went to visit, and I remember someone told me, they're like, hey, I saw her the other day. I don't want to, you know, say her name or nothing. And I was just like, oh really? I was like, what does she look like now? I was like, man, she got fat. I was like, what? Because, you know, she was a stickler for, you know, staying in shape and stuff. And like, yeah. And I would ask, what was it? They're like, yeah, she got pretty chunky and stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, whatever.
Isn't that the best when ex-girlfriends get fat?
The next guy she met, she married and stuff.
So. Oh, wow.
And yeah, that happens to me a lot. A lot of my exes that I'm serious with, if I get in a serious relationship, it's weird. They wind up getting married. They're like the next relationship. It's like they've reached the pinnacle with One Man Mike Dell. They're like, well, fuck it, it's all downhill from here. Fuck, just married, and that cocksucker comes along, you know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that all the girls that you break up with eventually just get fat.
Yeah, but they're just, it's weird. It's like there's only one girl I know that I was serious with. That, I mean, it was my high school sweetheart, and she didn't get married all the way up until, I think, like 4 years ago.
Wow.
And, she was waiting for you to come back.
Yeah. Actually, well, a couple times when I did go up and visit, we hooked up a couple times.
Nice. And,
that a boy.
But, yeah. So.
That's it. She's
that was
just
before
ready.
She got married. Before she got married. But yeah, me and her used to bullshit. You know, we talk to her online on the phone and be like, you know, this fucking, I don't think we're ever going to settle down. We're ever going to meet the right person, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, now she's married, but, and just had a kid, actually. So.
So she'll be fat soon.
Oh, come on. Yeah. So, yeah. She'll be doing all that shit soon.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about ECPW before we started the interview, and there's still quite a few of the boys that we trained with that are working up there. I know Drew is still working for Gino. He's actually a three-time champion right now.
Drew, which one was he? Was he the big Russian?
He was Siberian Tiger. That's him.
Yeah. He had the Russian-like type gimmick, sort of.
Yeah, who he?
Beard.
He used to team with our buddy Pub Bully Craig.
Pub Bully, wow, I haven't heard that. Actually, my friend of mine down here knows the Pub Bully.
Yeah, he's actually working up here out of Rahway for PWS. He's the big deal Craig Steele now.
Oh, okay. He sent me a link to a match I had with, what's his name? Who was the punk rocking looking dude?
Oh, Judas Young.
Judas Young,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
He's like, hey, Mike, and I didn't know who it was that sent the link. It was a link to, you know, one of our matches way back then. And then, my buddy Biss here goes, hey, he knows Pub Bully. He goes, that's Pub Bully. You know, he remembers you. He always says to me, he always asks how you're doing. I was like, oh, shit. You know, a small world.
Yeah, that's
how I knew it was him.
There was a point in time where I know the Countess, my old manager, she was going through Gino's archives, and she was putting a lot of stuff up on YouTube. So there might actually be some Mike Dell and Dave Delicious action on the internet somewhere.
Sounds team of the year.
Yeah. Sounds kinky.
He used to have these. I remember Gino used to have these awards, and every in 3 years I worked for him, he'd have these yearly awards, and every year I won an award. I had, what was it? The first one I think was most popular wrestler, and then it was tag team of the year, me and Delicious.
Nice.
And I think the next one was most popular wrestler again. But you know what? I'll tell you, sir. Me and Dave Delicious, my first title. Yeah, I'll talk before. Okay, the reason I came up with the moniker One Man Mike Dell was because I just wanted to do one-on-one matches, you know. Just wanted to, hey, it only takes one man to whoop your ass,
yep.
You know, sort of like. And I want nothing to do with, you know, anything else. My first title is a tag team title. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You know, irony. You know,
yeah, that's funny.
And all the announcers, all the commentators, you just sit there and go, if he's in a tag team, how is he just one man?
Well, leave it to the commentators to put you over like that. You know, that's a good job on them.
Classic.
But I got to tell you, you guys had a great dynamic. Jesus, I can't even talk. I'm like Matt tonight. You played the one-man army, and Dave was just kind of like, oh, you got him, baby. You got him. Daddy give you a smack on the ass when you walk by and stuff. And you used to get all annoyed with him. It was a great team. It was great the way you guys played it off.
You know, yeah, that's except I had known before that, you know, he went to the same school I did, and you know, so we already, you know, knew each other. So that helped. But yeah, he was really good. And, cause I heard that he used to stop wrestling because of it. He always had a problem with, he always would fuck up his ankle. And he had like a really bad ankle. He had to get surgery on it and stuff. And, he wound up stopping. But then when I told you I saw him again, when I went up there, I was like, cool me. you know, I went up there and he was back wrestling again. That's how I saw him, you know. And he looked good. And then I heard again that I'm friends with him on Facebook, you know, we rarely talk though, and I saw that, you know, he just had another kid, and I think we were bullshitting. He said how he stopped wrestling again. I think he's a full time plumber now or something like that.
Yeah, I think he's got his own business. I know that he was advertising it a bunch.
Oh, good for him. Yeah. I mean, not good for him to get out of the wrestling business, but good for him that he's, you know, land on his feet.
No, absolutely.
Not like the, I'm sitting there, you know, I won't be going the plumbing way. I'm trying to do the acting thing as my, you know, when my career winds down. Which I can push. There's three horror movies coming out in 2015. You can see one man, Mike Dell, in, by the way. There's Focus Puller. There's Flay, which is about that, you know, I don't know if you heard of Slender Man, that whole urban legend thing.
Yeah.
And this movie called Six Pack Sam, which is another horror movie. The Focus Puller one, I'm like one of the main leads. The other two, I'm like, I'm supporting. But they come out soon. I think you guys already know I did a Pepsi commercial. I don't know if you guys saw that back when, January through to the Super Bowl.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the leather helmets or whatever, leather heads and stuff.
Well,
that was cool.
Well, you are a handsome guy, I must say.
Thanks, buddy.
So,
Buy the nickel.
Yes. Mike, as we wind down, this Saturday at the Grace King Auditorium, you go after your world heavyweight title, the Wildcat Championship against Matt
Lanthier.
What can the fans expect that are going to the Wildcat show?
They can expect, besides me and Matt, there's also, Steve Anthony's going against Buku Dao for the Revolution title, and that'll be a fantastic, there's great talent on that card all around. Of course, Wymats will be the best. I mean, it always is.
Always.
But, Luke will be there. It was supposed to actually be another good match that was supposed to happen with Luke Hawks against Ray Rowe. But Ray got into a motorcycle accident, so he won't be able to perform. He was actually supposed to wrestle me for my Inspire Pro heavyweight title a couple of weeks ago, but because he got in an accident, we had to change everything. I didn't wrestle him, and guess what? I lost my title to the other person I took over.
Should
I tell you? But yeah, Matt Lancey, who my opponent is, he's a good talent, really good. Basically, he took advantage of a situation. I had just got done beating two people at the same time, retaining my Wildcat Championship, and then being the competitive guy that I am, a great champion that I am, I sat there and got back in the leg and said, you know what? I don't think I've given you enough. Get those two pieces of trash out of my ring. If anyone out back there has got the balls to come out and face me for this title, go ahead. Not knowing you could wrestle twice on this damn show, Matt Lancey had just lost the Revolution title, and he comes out, and I got into it with the commissioner. Now he already wrestled, but no, he made me wrestle the guy, and I had Matt beat, but I kind of, have kind of a big head, and I like to show the crowd that, look, I got him beat. Go fuck yourselves. I'm still the best. And, he had enough time to recollect himself and catch me off guard and steal my title. So that's what you're coming Saturday to see. Me come back and take back what's rightfully mine.
Well, bastard. Sounds like big things this Saturday. Wildcatsports.com is where you can find all the information about the event taking place at the Gracie King Auditorium. Also, Matt Stryker is going to be there. Our buddy, the Big O. New Jersey, New York, Zack Ryder, YouTube sensation will be there. So get out there and check out Wildcat Sports. Mike, I know you have a Twitter. It doesn't look like you're very active, but I'm going to plug it for you anyway.
At One Man Mike Bell.
They took the words right out of my mouth.
He said it better.
I just followed him today.
Yeah, I'm way more on Facebook than that. Like Twitter, honestly, I still don't get it. I really don't get it. It's just like, Facebook is like, hey, you put something up, you can basically communicate with other people, see what they say, and stuff. And Twitter's just like, you basically, hey, I'm taking a shit.
Right. Basically.
So I go on it, like, when shows are coming up and all, here and there, but I'm not on it constantly. Like, Facebook, I'm on, a lot. So go to facebook.com/mike.bell.33, and you can, see pictures of me, links to videos of me. Go to YouTube and YouTube me. Oh. Fucking Google me. I'm everywhere.
That's true. You are everywhere, except for in New Jersey, which it would be nice to see you wrestle again sometime soon back in the States.
Yeah. Give me it's a long flight.
Yeah, it is.
Across the pond.
Yeah, across the pond here. Yes. Yeah, where we talk different, but we have good pizza. Mike, thank you so much for joining us tonight, man. It's been cool to catch up to you and hear all about all the great things you're doing over there in Texas.
All right. Thanks, guys. It was good good catching up. And I'm glad to be on the show. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll
be
see
good,
you.
Be good, man.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
What's up? This is a Southern Stomper, Luke Hawks, huge effing arms, Wildcat Sports, and you're listening to Shining Wizards Podcast.
One man, Mike Dell.
Mike.
Fun times, man.
Fucking loves Elijah Burke.
Dude.
Loves him.
Learn something new every day,
and
man.
You know what's funny? Like, he was talking about how he lost the New Jersey accent. God damn, you could tell he's from Texas.
Yeah.
Every motherfucker. I thought I was listening to Austin for a minute.
And if you guys want to check out Mike Dell, wildcatsports.com. They have a Twitter at wildcatsports. Cat is spelled with a K. Facebook.com/wildcatsports. And they have a YouTube channel where they do weekly episodes very similar to PWS and Monday Night Mayhem.
Ooh, it's, nice crossover.
YouTube.com/user/wildcatsports. So check them out and support them. Going forward, this is the port.
This is the port.
This is part of the night. Boats come in.
This is the part of the night where the spotlight shines brightly on young Edward discuss WWE and Monday Night Raw.
Now, I just want to say before Eddie starts, I really didn't watch much of Raw.
Okay,
so.
Kathy, did you watch Raw? All right, there. Give the mic to Kathy.
Oh, come on. I got to sit on the side again?
Give it to her.
Why didn't you plug in another mic?
It's all for you, Kevin. This is the Raw review. All
right, I saw bits and pieces.
Okay,
so. I watched as well, but I was watching, you know, Monday Night Football was the first night, so I was a little
stole Tony's chair,
a little distracted, but I did watch it, and I mean, indifferent from all accounts of people that actually watched the show, they said it was better than it has been.
Mm. Okay, well,
the shit I took today was better than it has been.
Do you want to start with highlights, or do you want to go all lowlights?
Let's go with highlights. Let's start with the positive.
Okay.
I'll start with my positive.
Go.
The HIV.
Ah!
It's because we share needles.
Yes.
That's why.
I think one of the only positive things right now to me is, and it's not just because I'm a huge mark for the dude, is Dolph Ziggler, Miz.
You liked that segment?
The segment? No. The freaking photo stuff where they do that it seems like every 4 months they do a stupid photo montage and to embarrass somebody. But I really do like that program. I think it's way better than the Sheamus Cesaro program, which is basically its counterpart.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the Sandow thing, but I think Miz Ziggler is probably one of the brightest spots on the show, which is, you could say, is not hard to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's the best thing. Whereas 3 months ago, I thought it was the Bellas and Stephanie McMahon, and now that's absolutely terrible.
That went to shit. What do you think, Kathy? What was the most positive part of Raw for you?
Positive part of Raw.
Yeah, that's what he said. Come on, speed it up.
My pregnancy test.
Tony.
What?
Positive.
Kevin says you're pregnant. You're going to yell at me? Jesus.
I ain't pregnant.
She's mad at Tony
because
he didn't pull out.
All right.
I did notice you guys were gone for about 5 or 6 minutes.
That's all it takes.
Twice.
That's all it takes.
Abu.
Abu.
Hey, my last name is Hummer.
All right.
Focus.
All right, Hummer.
Focus. Monday Night Raw. Let's go.
Monday Night Raw.
You might be like podcast fucking cancer part two.
Listen, you keep it up. Me and you outside, buddy.
I'll Ray Rice the shit out of you.
Jesus.
Ray Rice. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Come on. Let's go.
All right, fine. Y2J and
Bray.
Yeah.
In the cage? I agree. I concur.
Phenomenal way to kick off Raw with a match, a lengthy match. Loved the finish. It really could have gone either way. I was actually into the build-up of the finish, and I think Jericho's cross body off the top of the cage.
What is he doing that
was
for?
Was a thing of beauty.
Why is he doing that?
Because he
why
can.
Not? Why not?
He doesn't have anything to prove. Why does he have to do a dive off the top of a cage?
Because he probably overheard Seth Rollins talking about how he was going to do it at the end of the night. So he was like, you know what? I'm going to do it first.
And the shrug was perfect.
Yeah, he was like, fuck it.
Here's a problem I have. Cage match opening Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it when the cage match was like the end, the pinnacle, go home. Like, it hangs there the whole show, and you're like, I can't wait for the cage.
That's why they brought it down at the end.
No, they did that to steal away, try and steal away football fans early. You know, like,
Giants did a good job of letting them do that.
Well, true. True statement.
Sucked.
And no one gives a shit about the Cardinals or the Chargers. So.
I did. Fantasy.
Mm. Life is a fantasy. So there was that.
There was the NXT tag match.
That was great.
Which I thought
was
great.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
No, you didn't see?
No.
Oh. You're missing out.
I know.
It.
It's what I heard.
It sucks, though, that Tyson Kidd gets on Raw because of NXT. And
how backwards is that?
He should be on Raw every week.
Yeah, but you know what? He got on Raw. I mean, can't complain.
Yeah, but...
I mean, you can, but...
Granted, I don't know what his exact role is in NXT. He's got to be more than just a wrestler there. He's got to have some hands-on stuff because he's too good. And he's been around way too long to just be in an amateur... Well, not an amateur, but...
back in developmental.
Basically, so developmental. And I think you and me went back and forth about this, about how the Ascension lost on a house show to Kofi Kingston and Big E.
Yeah.
And NXT now... to me, is not developmental anymore.
No.
It's a brand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is a brand that is on their network. It's featured heavily on their network. It's promoted on TV, on Raw.
Right.
So I guess it's not as bad initially as I was making it out to be, but you had a great point, and I didn't see it at first. The more I thought about it, Eddie, was that how the Ascension – people know who they are now.
Yeah.
They're not just guys that you put on a road – to lose, like
they're not locals.
They're not locals, and they're not even when there was developmental, and you brought up these guys to lose just to get them experience, to get a live big crowd under their belt,
like what Pat Buck used to do,
right? Even guys that they pulled up from their developmental, exactly. But Pat Buck is the perfect example. These guys now are marketable in themselves. They have T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
They have TV time. They have network time.
They have buzz,
and to put them in a house show match, and we all say if it's not on TV, it doesn't happen. If it's not taped, it doesn't happen. But I agree with you now more than I did when I first saw your point, is that these guys are the future of the tag team division.
Yeah.
And to have them lose to Big E Langston and Kofi Kingston on a house show for no reason.
Stupid.
I agree.
But it's a house show.
I understand.
Yeah, but we know about it.
But it's maybe Langston and Kofi Kingston, who are two established stars.
Are they?
Really?
Maybe it's just to get them in front of a bigger crowd than what they have at LaSalle.
Yeah.
Which is the point of doing that. But at the same time, times have changed where you have guys that you're... It's not Scott Taylor anymore. It's not Scotty Tuhati. These guys are marketable products. And... they should have won that match, house show or not.
I agree. But in this day and age, it's here today, gone tomorrow. No one, you know, the WWE storylines and what they write and what they try and shill to you, no one gives a shit about the past. Whatever happened 3 months ago doesn't matter. So what happens on a house show that's not televised, no matter how much you make a stink about it or how much you know about it, the minute they come up, no one's going to mention that they lost to Big E and Kofi.
How many subscribers?
I'll make sure
how many
I'll
WWE
mention
Network
it.
Subscribers do you think were in that audience that night?
50.
50?
I'd say all
I get your point. I think it's just wasted energy. Like, I don't think it means anything.
WWE is wasted energy right now.
Absolutely.
You're preaching to the choir.
Now, can we go back to your Tyson Kidd gripe?
Sure.
Would you rather him be featured on NXT the way he's being featured in the title picture and helping get these guys over?
Fair point.
Or would
point.
You rather have him
Fair
be,
point.
Being fucking attacked by a bunny and beat by Adam Rose every week on Raw?
That's a very valid point.
Or even worse.
It's a very valid point, and basically just kind of contradicted what I said about NXT being its own brand now. Tyson Kidd is well better served to being an NXT veteran and a star than being what he was in WWE. And to me, that just illuminates the bigger problem with WWE.
It was the plan that they were trying to do with Chris Benoit when ECW started up again.
Right.
Benoit was going to be the guy to go over there to make everybody look strong, to build everybody up, to give it credibility.
Right, and I agree. I just never thought that Tyson Kidd got a fair shot. Even his team with Justin Gabriel, I thought, would have been...
fair enough, but I agree with Matt where...
I agree with Matt,
would you
too.
Rather have him have a Curt Hawkins or a Zack Ryder and sit home every week and do nothing? At least he's getting exposure and he's still out there.
You're right. You're right. Both right.
And you get to see him, you know, wrestle. You don't have to... It's not the boring... Like, Curt Hawkins, Brian Myers, like, you didn't get to see him wrestle. He was just a WWE cog. Like, the Bola preview for night one, him and AJ Styles, just from the 40-second clip on the YouTube, it's like a completely different person.
Yeah.
And that really concerns me because you see Sami Zayn on NXT and they're bringing in Kenta for this NXT takeover thing. And
right.
They have Steen signed and Sami Callihan is there. Like, what are they if these guys get to showcase their talents in NXT and then you're just going to bring them up to WWE and they're just going to be another cookie cutter wrestler?
Yep.
That's so frustrating.
I think secretly Triple H just can't wait for Vince to just say, I'm done.
Honestly.
I honestly hope that's true.
You know, I don't want the man to die.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to stop until he's dead.
I totally agree.
But with what Triple H is bringing to the table with NXT, the future's looking good.
So let me ask you this. Triple H is the one making all these NXT signings.
Yes.
Basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
With Vince's approval, but it's pretty much Triple H.
Yeah.
They do amazing in NXT and developmental.
Uh-huh.
They come up. Vince takes control of them from then, therefore, and then,
yeah.
and then they're
shit.
Just done.
That's shit.
So without Vince, Triple H has plans for these guys, do you
Hopefully.
Think?
Hopefully.
Yeah,
I hope
you
so.
Hope. You would, some, like, last week, Vince was like, this is a board meeting. We need to get the gay football player to come on Monday Night Raw. Why is that a good idea?
You said gay football player come.
It's like what? Like somebody had to be
idea.
Like, someone has to be like, that's fucking
Says
stupid.
You.
Like next week he's going to be like, Ray Rice, Monday Night Raw. You're going to punch everyone in the cunt. It's going to be great.
Only the divas. Yeah. I'm about to say. Yeah.
Like someone's got to like, Triple H's got to be like, come here, Pop. Like, you
well,
gotta.
It's like they had Jerry Springer on last night with Brian and Isabella. I mean, what the hell was that?
That's, when I heard,
yeah, that was terrible.
So
we found that
stupid.
Out on last week's show, and I
thought
like,
it would have had potential. I take it it didn't go so well.
No,
it did. They could have, if the writing. Here's the thing. The writing has been shit. They had Jerry Springer. You can do a lot with Jerry Springer. You can do a lot.
Well, he
with
was
the
a
situation.
Host not too long ago of
yeah,
the show.
Yeah,
it was
no,
terrible.
You could do a lot. The writing was awful. Then you have that Miz segment with the stupid Photoshop pictures. The writing for that is horrible. You have Dolph Ziggler trying to put it over like it's funny, and you're just like embarrassed for him because you know that he knows that this is not funny.
If you follow Dolph Ziggler on Twitter, he's fucking hysterical.
Yeah,
he knows what's
this,
funny.
And you're like, okay, well, first of all, these pictures are posed. They're like shot in HD, and someone's taking them. Yeah. If you want to get the angle over funny, make it look like you really stole photos from his phone. Like, have Miz take selfies.
Miv.
Have Miz take selfies of him doing these things, you know?
That's what the whole thing was.
Like, have him take a picture of his ass in the mirror. Like, that's funny.
Exactly. That's what the whole... That's why it was relevant. That's why it was kind of funny, because of the whole sex photos released by...
But they botched
Upin
it.
And, yeah, and they made
totally
it look like it was like a photo shoot.
Yeah, totally botched it. Another positive, another plus. You're not going to hear me say this much. John Cena absolutely killed it.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught that. He actually did a really good job with that.
You know, I mean, he's
and Heyman, of course, is Heyman.
Yeah, but Cena did this on his own. I mean, it's everyone can say that it's easy to play off Heyman because Heyman's so good, but Cena was fine by himself. Could have been with anybody in that ring.
Cena's the best heel right now. I mean, he's using cancer kids and one-legged vets to fucking get over. I mean, I love heel Cena. What about you guys? Huh?
Oh, very. I see what you
I love
there.
It.
Cena's a heel?
Yeah,
no,
Cena turned heel on Raw.
Yeah.
He's like Luke Skywalker.
What is with his McDonald's shirts now? What the hell's that?
Oh, what? The Cena pictures from the McDonald's get up?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get that either.
He likes chicken McNuggets.
Maybe because his color is like red and yellow now. He looks like
what
he works
he
at
like?
McDonald's.
That's stupid. Who does red and yellow t-shirts?
Hulk Hogan.
Shining Wizards.
That was thank you, Eddie.
Well, we haven't said anything about that. I think we're going to wait just a little while longer.
No, we did.
Well, all right. What?
No, I know we did, but
any other highlights from Raw?
Let me scroll through. I think there was a couple more things that were good.
Roman Reigns got pancaked.
Yeah, and they announced that we're going to get Rollins and Reigns at Night of Champions, and we're going to get Randy Orton and Jericho at Night of Champions,
and Rusev and Sexual Chocolate.
Stupid.
Wow. What happened to Ambrose?
He's
making
injured. The movie.
Oh, that's it.
And he all kayfabed injury. So Randy Orton attacking Jericho for no reason.
Well, that's, I guess, their
insta-feud.
No, he did it. He did it because it's the season premiere.
Oh, okay.
That's what he said. That's what he told them.
Well, now it all makes sense to me.
Eddie, what? You're funny.
Ugh, Ross
he is
funny.
Raw yeah,
is
that is
funny.
You're 100% right, though. That is insta-feud. That's Randy Orton,
like,
Jericho at
like,
Night
oh,
of Champions.
Okay, let's make sure we get all of Jericho's dates out of the way now. So who else can we put him in the ring with?
But
that's
there is
he's done after Night of Champions, right?
Yes, and that's mm-hmm. when there's a Ambrose is supposed to be done filming on the 20th of that movie. And Night of Champions is the 21st. So there's a good shot that we can get an Ambrose return.
That'd be nice.
They
need
which
someone
they
like
need
him. They need someone that's over besides basically Brock Lesnar and Cena.
Dean Ambrose is the future, I think.
Kathy, you find Roman Reigns sexy?
I do. I find him sexy, and I love the Titty Master. I even like Dolph Ziggler, too. He really melts my Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, God. I'm going to fucking puke on the couch. Who's the Titty Master?
Dean Ambrose.
Why?
Because he loves them titties.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. Was that his gimmick in indies?
No.
Because everyone says something. There's always memes about him grabbing titties.
Maybe he said loves something?
Them. No, from what I read somewhere, he wrote on his arms, like on the tape that, on his hands, Titty Master. That's what I read.
Ooh, okay.
All right, cool. All right, what else we got?
He can master.
What was shit on Raw?
The Bellas.
The Bunny.
Who do you think the Bunny is? Do you think that's going to lead to a reveal?
I fucking hate Adam Rose.
I agree.
Early word.
Darren Young?
Yes.
But the Bunny had a white neck.
The Bunny's all white.
No, a white neck, like between the fucking top of the suit and the Bunny head.
I think.
Had a white neck.
Wasn't the head better stitched on because he did
There's like eight
frog
different
splash?
Costumes that they've used for that stupid bunny.
I don't know.
Listen, I'm a fan of Adam Rose. Always have
been.
Why? I don't think anyone.
He's presented like shit.
I'm still a fan of his. I think he has talent and he has much potential. But the bunny's going to end up being the star out of that stupid thing.
No. It'd be great if they had a fucking Elmer Fudd character and he chased the bunny.
That would be cool.
I'd be all about that.
There's an idea. Idea for Heath Slater.
Be very, very
what? Quiet. Speaking of Heath Slater, how is my team Slater Gator?
Slater Gator? They just got destroyed by the bunny and freaking Adam Rose on Raw.
Yeah.
So disappointing. Oh,
okay, I'm watching
Poor
the bunny.
Man band.
I'm watching the bunny splash him right now. And clearly,
hands?
The bunny has white hands.
It might not be Darren Young now.
Somebody said it's probably Justin Gabriel, because if you notice after the splash, he got up and he went to hold his abdomen. And then
that's
he fought
just
better
an indie
it.
Worker that knows to sell a splash.
No, but Justin Gabriel, that's always what he did.
It's got to be someone under contract.
Who cares?
He did the 450, and whenever he did it, he would hold his stomach.
Does anyone really give a shit?
That we're spending this much time on it? I agree, Eddie. Let's
Who
move on.
Cares?
I don't know. A South African in a bunny suit? I see money.
I don't know. I'd go for the homosexual in the bunny suit. This is even better.
Tickles?
Hello!
Oh, really?
Hummer could be in a bunny suit.
Oh, Hummer, please put on the bunny suit so I can tickle your titties.
Oh, my God.
I know that's not my thing, but I love bunnies, and I like to put the cottontails up my ass. This
Maybe
town needs
later.
An enema.
What else did we dislike from Raw?
I think that was, that's
I good. Think that's
the
it.
The fucking Bella shit is awful.
Awful.
Yeah. But they did go up in the ratings, though, so.
What? You have AIDS.
Beastman AIDS.
How do you guys feel about the news that they're possibly going to turn a Brock Lesnar Big Show program?
Terrible.
Again?
They've done it like 100 times already. And didn't he leave Big Show Lane last time they fought?
Who cares?
When he was building back up?
Stupid.
Before he fought CM Punk at Mania?
But doesn't matter if they've done it before. No one cared then. No one cares now. Obviously, you know that Big Show's not going to beat Brock Lesnar. The matches are going to be pretty shitty, I'm sure.
No, I thought Lesnar and Big Show worked well together.
I think they do.
It
still doesn't. But no matter how well you work together, it doesn't erase the fact that you're going back to the same old bullshit.
Just
as a filler
a
for Cena again, mm-hmm. or whoever it's going to be.
Cena.
Yeah, I mean... Is Cena winning the belt at Night of Champions?
No, he can't.
Not if they're going to do a Brock Big Show program.
Brock signed a new deal where he can make appearances now, where they have to compensate him for it. He agreed to make more appearances.
And he's going
to
be on TV next week.
It makes sense because they're going to, you know, whatever he does to Cena at Night of the Champions, if he fucking decimates him again.
Yeah.
Like, they got to throw a big guy at him. You can't have, like, fucking Daniel Bryan
I don't think
come
he decimates
back and go
him.
After him.
I think
if he beats him, though, you got to throw a giant
him.
At him.
You
it's
know,
just
here's the thing,
boring.
Though. Here's something cool that they could have done. Like, seriously, if they weren't burying the shit out of a guy like, say, like, this poor man, Titus O'Neil, right? He's got the height, the build,
the
he's got that bark.
He's a legitimate athlete.
Yeah, he's a legitimate athlete. Why don't you just, like, say Cena's getting his ass kicked. The match is over. Cena's getting beat down. Titus O'Neil comes out. It's a fresh face. The dude comes out, makes the save. He stands up tall. Brock looks at him. He's, like, not familiar with this guy.
He's like, what's going on? What is
out,
happening?
Backs away from him, leaves automatically, and then he helps up Cena. Automatically, this dude is a player. Yeah, just like that.
All
Not
takes.
Just because he's it's, black.
Shut up, Tony. You're right. Just that's all it takes.
It really is all it takes, but I mean...
I would be a lot more interested in seeing them build him up, have him ultimately
fight Brock Lesnar, take a hell of a beating, fight back a little bit, lose, lay in the ring, get up, get the applause from the fans that he's gained their respect. Now you have a mid to upper card guy that has meaning.
That's the Benoit move.
Yes.
That's basically the Benoit move.
Do that. I mean, that's so easy. How? That is so easy.
And, dude, people were already getting behind Titus O'Neil anyway.
Yeah, they were.
You have people doing that. He comes up. He does. You can't really see me. He does the American males gimmick and just starts barking.
Yeah. So he has a great look. And even if he's not so polished in the ring, I would much rather see a feud with a guy built up like him. He could probably cut a fucking hell of a promo, too. Seriously.
If given the shot, like, again, I agree with you.
But instead, what do they have him doing? They have fucking bunnies jumping off the top rope and splashing, and that's it.
Slater Gator.
Man.
Yeah, there's so much they could do with a guy like Titus O'Neil. It's
so fucking much you could do with half the guys on the roster at this
that's
point.
True.
It's a shame.
Rhodes Brothers beat somebody really fast, didn't they?
The Matadors.
Ugh, God, that's fucking retarded. And
now it was a great idea to put a couple of Puerto Ricans and make them Mexicans.
Yeah. They're all the fucking same.
Works
that's
for me.
Lopez.
Yeah, they're, now you have the Usos Lopez. And Goldust and Stardust. How's that heel turn working, by the way, for them?
No
are people
cares.
Buying it?
Honestly, I think like the last 2 weeks of Raw, people are fucking punching out hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Especially now with football, it's really
easy
to do.
Well, the audience actually did go up so from the week before.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I find it's easy to do my exercising on Monday night. I tune out half of the wrestling. Didn't even really watch football last night.
Hmm. Eddie,
just
you mentioned
other things to do.
You mentioned in a Facebook chat earlier about your new love for Batista.
Yes.
Please share, because I haven't listened to the interview yet.
Okay. Any of you guys listen to Batista on Jericho's podcast?
I heard highlights. Okay.
I listened a little bit.
Okay. Basically, you know how we were all coming around and kind of like respecting Batista's work towards the end of his run. He was talking to Jericho, and basically Batista was talking about how the fans just chant, just to put themselves over. And Batista's like, here I am. You know, I come back, and right away I'm thrown into this program that I know. What's wrong?
Matt's retarded. Oh.
Batista was saying, I'm thrown into this program that right away I knew wasn't going to work, wasn't going to get over. And he said he would argue with them about it, and they would just say no, no, no. And then finally,
Dave, no. Stop it.
Bad.
Shut up.
Bad Batista.
Shut up.
But eventually, like, they would come around and be like, okay, that's a good idea. But then it would be like 3 weeks too late. And then they would do it. And he said basically, like, the creative was all over the place, and he just wasn't thrilled with the direction. So he said he wants to come back. He loves working there, but he needs a little bit of creative input, because he said sometimes they'll just argue with you to argue with you.
And now that he's going to basically make a new career for himself in the
now
movies,
he'll have it. Now he'll be in the same category as a Chris Jericho.
Yep.
You know, or a Rock, or a Brock. Like, a guy can come back when he wants.
And you know what? Deservedly so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because while Batista's not on the same level as a, obviously as a Rock, as an Austin, as a Jericho, who can come and go as they please. Mm-hmm. Batista, look, I think we've actually had this conversation a few months ago. He's the next tier under that.
Yes.
He's earned everything.
Yes.
And more power to him. They're actually saying that he's going to be coming back.
Master.
Yes. I ordered Matt to get me another drink.
Yes,
just basically
master.
Ordered it.
Here is your drink.
And I think, you see, this is what I want. I want to see Batista come back as a babyface. And I think this time, if he does, it will get over.
Yes.
Unlike the last time. Mm-hmm. And I would love to finally see, because I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, have we ever seen a Batista-Brock Lesnar match?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm. I don't
They've
think
been
so.
Kept the point.
That, a face Batista, heel Lesnar, money.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
To me.
Absolutely.
You guys are crossing streams up there.
But he wants to work Triple H at WrestleMania, Batista.
Yeah.
Well, of course he does. It's an easy match for him.
That's been done.
Those two guys will make each other look great.
It's done to death.
But, I mean, it does make sense in terms of where they left off.
Absolutely.
That's true. That's
Didn't
very
he
true.
Beat Triple H for the title at one of the WrestleManias?
That's what made him.
Yeah.
23?
22, 23.
I think 23 was when Cena won, wasn't it?
No.
Didn't Cena beat JBL in 23?
Batista won the Royal Rumble that year and went on to beat Triple H.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was for the world title, wasn't it? There's still two belts. I think Cena and JBL had the WWE title, right? Was that the WrestleMania?
Maybe I don't think they had them both switch at the same event.
No.
Maybe they could have.
Where are we?
I don't know.
What?
All right, so real quick, what are you guys' thoughts on...
Sorry.
Jesus. We have a lady here.
That was
dude.
Off mic.
Just farting all over our
I
guests.
I turned the mic off.
Yeah, but I can still smell it.
Whoever smelt it dealt it.
All right. Proceed. All right,
yes, you have one more point.
My last point of the evening, besides Raw needing a whole new creative team, Roman Reigns. I do not see him as the next guy. I see him maybe peaking to, if he's lucky, Batista level, right?
Right.
Right.
But I don't see him. All right, giggity. But I don't see him being the next guy. I see a guy like Dean Ambrose, who is crazy over. Wait, just follow me here.
No, I'm going to agree with you.
Crazy over.
Said that.
He has the connection. He has the X factor that a lot of guys don't have. I think he has the intensity that Daniel Bryan.
You're not far off with Brian Pillman
but
either.
Brian Pillman, yeah, but he has the intensity that Daniel Bryan doesn't. He has the mic skills, I believe, that Daniel Bryan really doesn't. And he has the tenacity. I think a guy like Dean Ambrose could make the WWE a lot of money, but I'm afraid they're not going to give him the chance.
Everything that you just said is 100% accurate, as far as I'm concerned. They're going to do their best to force Roman Reigns on us, unless there's another Daniel Bryan, CM Punk revolution for...
Mm.
Or revolt or whatever
right.
for Ambrose.
Right.
And I think, and I've said it since day one, since the first time I saw the Shield, I looked at Roman, I looked at Rollins, I looked at Ambrose. I said, Ambrose, that's the guy.
That's the guy.
That is the fucking guy. And Roman Reigns could be great. He
uh-huh.
could be good.
Yeah. I don't hate what he does.
Neither do I.
I hate when he talks.
Yes, I hate when he talks.
Exactly.
And, I hate that I fear Eddie fears. That even though we want Ambrose, we're still going to get Reigns pushed down our throat.
Because he's a monster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but I agree.
There's room for all of them.
No, what's wrong with that is if the fans don't want it and we're being force-fed that.
Fair enough.
Right. He needs to limit what he says or not speak at all.
Goldberg.
Menacing looks,
you said
walk
this
away.
Before.
That's
and
it.
Get rid of that laser tag gear.
Yeah, the scuba gear.
He looks
the Sub-Zero gear.
He looks like he's on his.
Yes, he does.
He looks like he's on his way to like freaking
Funko Land or yeah. whatever.
Like, I
want
to just throw Nerf balls at him and have him stick to him.
Yeah. Like Velcro balls.
Yeah, like those old like paddleball games.
What's with that? Change the fucking guy's
clothes. The gear.
What's the deal with his gear?
What's the deal with his gear?
I love the Ambrose wearing the tank top and the jeans. Rollins' gear is cool, too.
Yeah, it's cool.
Roman Reigns, he looks like, and now I hate to plug them, but he looks like a trash bag wrestler.
Oh, boo.
And he's like, well, here I am, and I'm going to do some things in the ring.
Yeah.
Tony, you nailed it, though.
Get the high score.
Listen, dude, like, Renee Young tries to interview him. She's like, what are you going to do to Randy? She just looks at her.
Well,
he looks at her, just walks off.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Just walks off. Yeah,
that would be great.
Not like, well, I'm going to beat him. He's got a beating coming his way.
And the dude, obviously,
I'm gonna punch him.
The dude, obviously, he has the build that Vince loves because Vince
got a look.
Vince has a boner for muscled guys. Boing. Obviously, why do you gotta cover him up? Don't cover the dude up. He's impressive.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, seriously. Look.
I mean, no homo. But...
No homo or anything.
Aw.
Well, maybe a little homo. But Tony, you said this. Do the Goldberg thing.
That's it.
You know,
even
the guy,
for a little while until they could build him up, so he learns how to speak a little like a level above Neanderthal. You know,
really seriously. And the gear has to go. The gear is terrible.
Like if he said Reigns Crush, that wouldn't be so bad.
Orange Crush,
yes.
Reigns
Crush.
Crush.
Lana.
Rusev. Orange Crush.
Kona Crush.
He's dead
Rusev.
Too, isn't he?
I can't stand that punk.
Yeah.
Who? Rusev.
Rusev. Man.
Bryan Adams is dead.
Ugh. Bryan Adams is dead. Yeah. Rusev.
Oh, I like him.
Who, Bryan Adams?
No. Crush.
Everything
Bryan
Adams. I do.
No. Oh, yeah.
I do it for
I love
you.
That song. That song was on like.
Oh, that is a good song.
When I called like my insurance company, like I was on hold. They played Bryan Adams. Everything I do it for you. Then the insurance agent came back on the line. I was like, wait a second. Just give me a second. That was Bryan Adams. Everything I do it for you. Put
were
me
you,
back
were
on
you
hold.
You teared up?
No, I just wanted to listen to the rest of the song.
Looking to you.
You're gay. You're fucking gay.
Dude, Bryan Adams is the real deal.
Real quick,
Summer
I have a story.
Summer 69 was a great song, dude.
It was
yeah,
a
Summer
song.
69, I think, was his
When that song came out, I do it for you.
Three Musketeers. Oh, no, that was...
Robin Hood. Okay. I was in middle school.
Oh, sorry.
I was in middle school, And there's this girl I liked. I liked her so much. So I learned. What are you doing?
You're holding the tip in your hand. Stop. Don't do that. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop believing.
I like this girl so much that I made sure to learn the song on the piano for her. That's it, right the fuck there.
Well, good. This will be our plug music.
And I nailed it. So I'm in chorus class right before class.
Chorus
starts.
Class.
Nothing wrong with chorus.
I was in chorus.
Nothing wrong with chorus.
Yeah, that shit was mandatory.
Actually,
back
in a couple
then.
Of yes. weeks, I have to go audition for a singing contest.
All right.
Really?
What radio station?
Yes, really. Not a radio station.
Eddie,
it's
go on, because Eddie, you had a.
Oh my God, she's trying out for The Voice.
Okay, so
I
here's...
did try out for The Voice a couple of times.
Eddie,
well, congratulations. My story has an interesting
the
ending.
Fuck.
I'm sorry. I'll stop telling my story then. No, not
Eddie,
me.
Eddie, keep going. I'm listening.
Shut the
fuck up.
Eddie.
Okay, so I'm in
Tony,
class.
You're gonna fucking die.
Before the
shut
teacher.
The fuck.
I'm sorry, Eddie. That
before the
real.
Teacher shows up, I sit down at the piano. The girl, her name was Joanna. She's sitting there.
Oh no.
I sit down. I start playing the song. Right. All of a sudden, I'm playing the song. I knew that she loved the song because we talked about it in art class. I'm playing the song. All of a sudden, the fucking popular kid in school comes in and starts singing along. Oh. So right away, her eyes go from me playing the piano directly to the popular kid playing, fucking singing the song. So I'm playing along while this kid's stealing her heart, and I'm contributing to it.
What?
I finished the song. I had a tear in my eye. And I got up, and I was like, I gotta go to the nurse. I went home sick that day.
Aww. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
You're yeah, Prince You're of Thieves gay. Is fucking right.
I thought you were gonna say you played Joanna.
Good movie, by the way. Christian
Great
Slater
song,
was in it.
Yeah, so that's what happened
Kevin
to me.
Kevin Costner.
That was incredible. I have a tear in my
okay,
eye right now
Eddie.
From laughing.
I learned it. I learned it hard. I learned it.
Oh,
almost like how I learned Creed for Chris Payne.
Creed, we played that at Dave's
Shut
party last week.
That's
Tony!
That's a better love story, you and Payne,
Matt,
than
yes.
you and Joanna.
Yes.
Eddie.
You guys are fucking dead.
Shut the fuck up!
So that was, that's it. We have a closing number for tonight?
Yes,
we gotta
please.
Get some plugs.
I do.
Yeah,
I got a plug. I'm gonna fucking go plug crazy.
Yeah,
gotta,
wait
a minute.
Put some music underneath.
Wait, Kathy has to say
I got
something.
You. No,
what?
She doesn't.
But why?
But you.
What? All right, good. Good talk. Make sure you guys check out Pro Wrestling Syndicate. They have a big show coming up on September 20th. Fired up.
All fired up. All
right, shut up.
Thank you, Kathy. She's correcting
hey,
you.
If you miss it, you better be dead or in jail. And if you're in jail, break out.
Fuck yeah.
Ricky Steamboat, last week's past guest, and our guest at Legends of the Ring. He's going to be the commissioner. Please stop.
Stop! Jesus.
Seriously.
Stupid.
This is like serious time. This is when
Jesus
we try to help our friends out.
ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. If you go to the website, you can find Monday Night Mayhem. It airs every Monday night. And then they have a GoFundMe website page, GoFundMe.com/PWA funding for
PWS.
A fraction.
PWS.
Oh, what'd I say? PWG?
I already donated.
No, you said PWA.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know
PWS.
Where that came from.
But the link is on ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. So help contribute to them. They will bring better wrestling to your TV.
That's for damn.
And don't forget Monday Night Mayhem every Monday night at 11 after Raw on the YouTubes on ProWrestlingSyndicate.com as well.
Yes. You can actually watch football, skip shitty wrestling, and then watch good wrestling.
And watch David Adams and Dave Destruction, our pals, kick some ass.
It has a primetime wrestling type vibe, I think.
Yes, it does.
You dig it, Kathy, as a fan?
Hell yeah.
Cool.
I watch it every Monday.
What else awesome.
We got, as we mentioned, Wildcat Sports. One man, Mike Dell. WildcatSports.com is the website. Go there for all your information. If you are in the Louisiana area this weekend, please get out there. Check them out. Support independent wrestling. Also, AAWWrestling.com out of Berwyn, Illinois. They have a show Friday night, excuse me, where a friend of the show, Eddie Kingston, will be taking on the AAW Heavyweight Champion, Shane Hollister. So check that out. SmashWrestling.com. They are our friends to the north. Smash-Wrestling.com. ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Jay over there hooked us up. Put us on his website, so check them out. They do lots of great articles. And us, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, Legends of the Ring, next
Saturday.
Yep,
wow.
The 20th. Holy shit.
Coming up.
Ricky Steamboat will be at our table 12:30 to 3:30. $30 for an autograph. $30 for a picture.
$50 and he'll blow fire in your face.
Yeah.
$50 for a combo. The combo is an autograph or a picture, two autographs, two pictures.
One of those three choices, not all six.
Whatever you're doing.
Yeah, we'll
be
lenient.
And we'll be slinging.
What?
No, we won't be.
We'll be lenient, but if you want to, we're not going to give you a hard time.
Yeah, I'm not going to punch you in the dick after I take your money.
Yeah.
We'll be down there with Ricky Steamboat. There's a ton of other fucking talent. Phil Ditto knows all the fucking shit because he's a weirdo like
that. Bother Phil Ditto on Facebook.
LegendsoftheRing.com. There's tons of people that are going to be down there. So please come down, support wrestling, support us.
And by the way, whoever on the message boards was wondering how the Shining Wizards got Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, a WWE contracted wrestler, to be our guest, because we can.
Fuck yeah.
Because of Shining Wizards Eddie. That's why.
Okay. You're listening to Shining Wizard Eddie.
Why he got the fucking special promo at the beginning.
Right.
ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. We have four great shirts up there. Check it out. Someone brought a t-shirt last night. That always gives me a nice
lady
boner.
Tea.
Thanks,
a
Kathy.
Lady tea. And then I think we have a limited amount of pink and blacks left.
Pink and blacks are disappearing quickly.
As you can see, our model, Kathy Hummer, is modeling the pink and black model.
On the podcast.
On the podcast live.
For everybody to see.
There you go.
That's for our eyes only. And if you're going to be in New York in 2 days, this Thursday night, I will be performing. This is Shining Wizards Kevin at the Huron Comedy Club.
The Huron Conrana Comedy
the
Club.
The Huron Conrana. It's a wrestling-themed show.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Featuring a lot of luchadors. No, it's just at the Huron Comedy Club at the Soho Playhouse this Thursday night. Get there if you're in New York City. Boom. That's my little cheap plug.
I like that.
Any Follow me plugs? On Twitter at Kevin Garifo.
Awesome. Any other plugs?
I think that's it.
All right.
Eddie, anything to plug?
No.
I think we hit everything, right?
We did. Mm-hmm. Kathy, have anything to plug over there?
No, just
plug
thanks
a cheesesteak in
me,
that.
You know. Crush your podcast.
Yeah, well, we didn't really have a choice in the matter, did we?
No, you didn't.
All right. All
right. Is that our finishing?
Yeah,
number?
That's it. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good Lord.
See you next week, you freaks.
Piece of chicken grease. Don't forget
Eat
to wear a
pizza
rubber.
If I let you.
Don't share needles.
Suck on commentary, too.
And suck on cocks, too. Eat a bag of dicks.
Turn your mic off, goddammit. Shut the fuck up!